Daniel?
Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling.
Sky's the limit, baby.
BoxingWiz.com.
We don't fight for rings and stuff like that. I don't fear anyone.
En este deporte no se viene a jugar y no le tengo miedo a nadie.
We don't need to play in this sport. I don't fear no one in this sport.
When did you realize, Andy, that you could take this power?
Because of the Mexican warrior that I am. I got that Mexican blood in me. So, talking about the Mexican style, I can prove this.
BoxingWiz.com.
Ain't no one for fighting the game to see the boxing board.
Good morning, TBB. What's up, Las Vegas? Good morning, Boxing World. Good morning, Bo Mason. What's up, baby? What's going on? Thank you for joining me as I've been sitting around waiting for Danny, who's overslept. But we're here to talk Canelo Alvarez, Triple G, the third fight, and the fact that Eddie Hearn believes that particular fight will generate three times the amount of revenue that Spence versus Crawford brings in. Now, I know this is a boxing show, and maybe some of you are like, who gives a fuck how much they make? It's not my money. You're right. But we need a time to talk about this fine morning, as a lot of you who claim to be boxing fans really weren't coming out for our four shows consecutive on the new star that is born, Jesse Bam Rodriguez. So if there are any Jesse Bam Rodriguez fans out there, please do call in. We can continue to celebrate his achievements the way we normally do anyone else's. You know, normally we sit there for the live fight chat on a Saturday. We come back on a Sunday to celebrate, but it spills over into this week until the fight week picks up, which should be maybe a Wednesday or a Thursday, depending how big that fight is, even a Tuesday. But, Bo, again, I mean, is this one of those topics that doesn't really, you know?
I think this topic should galvanize the crowd.
But what about you? Like, does it matter to you who makes more money, or does it just matter to you that both groups, parties, actually make their fights? Because Canelo Golovkin 3, that's set in stone. You know, Eddie's talking about Spence versus Crawford, something that, as far as I know, isn't official.
Right. I don't believe too much that Eddie says, bro.
Really?
One time he said, Billy Joe will never fight Canelo Alvarez. One day. The very next day, he announced Billy Joe versus Canelo Alvarez.
I mean, Canelo's his own boss, though. Can you blame Eddie?
Yes, I can blame him, bro. We know him in America to, you know, sometimes flex the truth. Oh. So him saying that if I'm going off what he thinks, I mean, I really just don't hold it in that high regards what Eddie thinks. But if it did generate three times the revenue of Spence Crawford, I'd be impressed. Definitely.
But so you don't expect it to do better than Spence Crawford?
Nah.
You think that fight is past the sell date? It won't make the money that it's made in the first and the second. And instead, the new hot fight is obviously Spence and Crawford, which isn't official.
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. Spence Crawford is a long anticipated fight. Everybody waiting on it. We all want it. It's coming. And we're going to pay for it.
Word.
I'm paying for it. I don't know if I'm going to go to the fight. I don't know if I'm going to watch it here with you all. But regardless, I'm still going to pay for it as well.
How do you feel about October, November being the rumored months for Spence Crawford? And obviously they're staying here in Vegas. You live here now. But are those months usually busy for you in your other job? Are those a good months for boxing as a boxing fan? Like, do you think that those months are good months to electrify Vegas and bring out? Because, again, we're talking revenue.
I prefer October over November. No particular reason. I mean, I guess I just want it sooner than later. But, yeah, that the month that it happens in really doesn't matter, in my opinion.
I don't know. Again, we're talking revenue.
Okay.
Canelo Golovkin going on Mexican, you know, what is it, Independence Day,
right,
or some sort of a Mexican holiday is before the actual holidays that society pushes. Society says you got to dress your house up and dress your kids up and give away chocolates and candy on Halloween, which costs you money. Then society says you have to celebrate Thanksgiving and you have to be thankful and you have to give, which costs you money. And then you got Christmas, where some of us, we don't even spend on Halloween and Thanksgiving because we're saving up for Christmas.
Right.
So I don't know.
Near Christmas wouldn't be that good of a date, in my opinion. But I feel like just as many people will buy Canelo Triple G3 on next weekend as it would on Mexican Independence Day weekend. The Mexicans going to support Canelo no matter when he fights.
You're right, but they still don't have to worry about any holidays. At the end of the day, Canelo is fighting. Not only is he fighting on DAZN, which his last fight was pay-per-view DAZN, so that doesn't even matter anymore. It used to be, you know, at least you're getting it for 10 or 20 bucks. But Canelo normally fights, you know, in September. I'm sure he has, in the past couple of years, been fighting in like October and November dates, right? With Callum, I mean, October and December dates.
He hasn't fought on the September date since when?
A couple years. It's been a couple years.
It's been a while.
But he does go before the holidays, you know. I think that is strategic.
Mm-hmm. Overall, I do think Spence Crawford does better. And Canelo Triple G3 will generate a lot of revenue, but I don't even think it'll do better than the second fight either, strangely.
I don't know.
Is that strange to think that I don't think it'll do better than the second fight?
I don't know, because now that Canelo's lost, those radical GGG fans believe that he can win now. You know, they believe the code has been cracked, not to mention that it's been cracked by Floyd years ago, but it's been so long since we've seen a chink in his armor, and that armor obviously being Canelo's, that I think it's given Triple G himself.
A lot of people saying he looked old, though.
He did look slightly.
Even though he did go to Japan and stop Ryota Murata in a championship fight at a higher weight division, correct?
Mm-hmm.
People still say they think he
No, old. Not higher. It was 160. It was unification. He had the WBA.
It was not 68?
No,
What
no.
fight Rob Brent fight at? I mean, what weight Rob Brent fight at?
All 60.
Okay, I thought Rob Brent beat Murata at 68.
Nah. He's not a super middleweight.
Okay.
No. And I'm trying to see if Matchroom has anything from the press conference here so that we can kind of screen share the look of GGG, but Jesus, I don't see anything. I'm gonna have to go to the zone.
They was knocking the like official poster or whatever. They say even GG looks old on that poster.
Austin, you broke those headphones, huh?
And we do have our first guest here.
He's right there.
Look, our first guest.
Along with the man, the myth, the legend himself, who's going to take my spot here in a couple moments when Austin fixes the cameras. You're looking fresh today, too, bro.
Fresh.
What's that? That ain't the Walter Payton, is it? The Devin Hester from Miami, Florida. One of the best.
All right, let me get a screen share, full screen. And this is the pictures of Canelo, Triple G. I'm going to go ahead and zoom in. I don't know that we can say Triple G looks old. Are there some other pictures maybe where we'll see better wrinkles in his eye, which honestly I can see them right there, you know? But Eddie has bags, and that's because he travels hard for, you know, Matchroom and trying to keep things going. But we do have our first guest, Aaron Thompson. He will be coming in the studio in a few seconds here. And Danny Alvarez, a.k.a. Ringwalk Danny, will be joining us in just a sec. Okay, so he joined you a little earlier.
What up? My bad, y'all.
No, we could have kept you in the backgrounds, in the shadows. No. But we are talking GGG, Canelo, kind of versus Spence Crawford. This is Eddie Hearn. He's such an intelligent promoter. How do you get people talking about Canelo Triple G? You get them talking about Canelo Triple G by attaching them to the biggest fight in boxing. How do you attach them to the biggest fight in boxing? By saying that this fight is going to do better than that fight. The one that everybody's craving for, the one that everyone's clamoring for, he's attaching the... This is like a buy one, get one free. You know what I mean? Because we already had this, and we don't really want it. Unfortunately, there is no free in this. We will be paying. But let me get a screenshot yet again, full screen. Look at Canelo's face. You see, Canelo is acting like he's got an issue with Golovkin, but it is my belief that this is more than Golovkin. You know, he understands entertainment, so he is entertaining us, but I think the chip that he has on his shoulder is because of the loss, not because I got to fight Triple G again and he's been talking smack. No, no, not at all. This is more like I got to prove to you guys that I'm still that top dog, that was just – me biting off a little bit more than I can chew. I got to prove to you I'm not vulnerable. I got to prove to you that I am still the best. And that's why he's coming in with that look from the beginning. But, Bo, whenever you're ready, please bring in the guests so we can get things going. Yep. And, yeah, what's going on, Danny?
Sit, Tim. I was just obviously clearly seeing the picture that you're showing, and I'm thinking to myself – as to what you're saying, and I'm like, wow, he really might be right. Like, Canelo really might be, like, that honed in on the loss. Like, I don't know, he just seemed upset. Look, I've told you, I'm a big fan, and obviously I was a big fan of the first two fights, but, you know, it doesn't have the same flavor that it did back then.
What do you mean, flavor? Because I think that now... If not the Canelo fans, the Canelo detractors, the guys that don't really think he's Mexican, and the guys that support Triple G now think Triple G has a shot because he looked a little – he looked good in the Moreira fight and then Canelo lost in the Bivol fight.
Yeah, you know, for me, my thing is – I'm going to be honest with you, Champ. My thing is that at the end of the day, who talking about it? Like, who calling in – and letting us know, you know, that, yeah, they like that, this, that, and the third. No, bro. To me, that's not the case. But we have been joined by our first two guests of the day, Ness.
What's up? So which one is Aaron Thompson?
Right here.
How are you, man? Man, you guys look big. So you're a heavyweight then.
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
Jahaz Stowell.
You can extend the mic, both of you, to reach you so you don't.
Okay.
Yeah. So what you got there, buddy?
I got a trophy. This is the team trophy that Team Oregon won at our tournament yesterday.
Oh, shout out to Oregon, man. Shout out to Esteban out there, man.
Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all know Esteban?
We know Esteban. One of us is the same one. We
it's a southpaw.
Yeah.
He's nice.
Yeah.
He got a couple losses as amateur, but he's nice. Yep. He's just it's right here. He'd be nervous. He be in his fucking head too much.
That's crazy.
We but he's exactly nasty. Yo, about. You know what we call him over here? He's really known in there because he's fought for me like three times. We call him TBV's version of Laura because he's like Islandri Laura, and he's physically very, very in shape. But you guys look lean as hell, man. Shout out to Oregon, man. You're putting him on the map then.
Yes, sir.
So who fought yesterday? The both of you?
Yep.
Okay, so who wants to go first and tell us all about it? I could not make it, unfortunately. I just moved to Vegas, you know what I'm saying? The show's been going on for over 10 years, but we just brought it to Las Vegas, and I'm still trying to buy a house, man. So I was house hunting all weekend. But tell me about it, man.
Firstly, happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, man.
I
appreciate
it.
I appreciate it nonetheless, man. Yo, thank you. That's shocking.
Hey, and shout out to all the Geminis.
Oh, shit. Let's go.
I'm a Sagittarius, so that's a twin flame.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Okay. So, Sagittarius
birthday,
is, wait,
bro?
Yeah, what month
well,
is it?
Well, it's late November into December, so, like, yeah. You got, like, the 20 something, like the late
20s. Oh, so it starts 20.
Yeah, like 23.
So
I think,
so November 9-4 is Scorpio.
No, I think like 21st, yeah. The 22nd, and before Scorpio. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a November 23rd, so it's interesting. It's on the cusp. So, but I'm a Sagittarius, man. We got like very common traits, man. We're surviving. But anyways,
so are you guys brothers?
Nah.
Look a little bit alike.
We is now, you know. But you feel me? Not related. It's crazy, man. He just recently he joined in the summer, so it kind of just kind of vibe, bro. Like we just that dude is my twin for sure.
Okay.
But he heavyweight, I'm middleweight. I'm 165. He's 201, 203. My fight, I won best boxer of the
night?
Entire tournament.
Okay, the tournament.
Little thing already snapped.
Oh, man. See?
We got to think
that's
that.
Crazy.
I put it in my bag for 1 second. But it went the distance. The fight, man, it's crazy. You learn, like, every fight you learn something. So, you know.
Does somebody have it playing, like, on their phone in the background? Because I definitely hear it. No, all good. Just making sure we weren't having any like double feedback or anything. But go ahead.
Yeah. I'm happy for the progress, man. I mean, we said one day we're gonna try to be on here. One day we're gonna go to Vegas. This is my first time being in Vegas. And you know, I've been a fan of y'all. I've been watching y'all since the beginning of summer, last summer. So you know, every day type thing.
Mm.
You know, first it was like the podcast app. Then I hopped on the YouTube live every morning. I work at the University of Oregon. So, you know, they got our schedule 6 a.m. every morning. I'm working. So I put y'all on, put the headphones on. I'm
nice.
Working solo. And I'm just listening to y'all all day. And I'm like, man, I'm going to be on here one day.
Well, here you are.
That's what's up, man. That's what's
so how many fights you have?
About 15 as of yesterday. And it's a low amount. And I want to get as much as I can, of course.
How old?
Oh, I'm 24.
Okay.
So I've had, let's see, I'm Golden Glove champ. He's Golden Glove champ, obviously. I think I've been boxing for about, like, what, 3 years, competing for 3 years now. I think by my fifth fight, I managed to get my Golden Glove shot. This dude, what, by your first fight, his first fight was?
State Golden Gloves.
Mm.
So we didn't know each other at the time, but, dude, it's incredible. You know, just to see where we're at now and only 15 fights.
For sure.
Seeing how far we're going, you know, so the progress is a blessing, you know.
So what is the goal for you?
You know, I definitely consider myself going pro, but the goal is the Olympic trials,
okay.
Qualifiers. I'm going to be a national champ, hands down. That's what's going to happen. So we're going to put in the work and get as far as we can get and, you know, learn as much as we can in the amateurs before we go pro. So, you know. Like I said, every fight you learn something. So that's what it's all about, man. It's just
so you have a day job or something. There's something that you're falling back on because if there's no rush to turn pro, you obviously have no rush to make professional checks as a fighter.
Well, I would say with my work schedule, working at the university, they got me Monday through Friday. So it's kind of a thing of 6 a.m. every day. I can't be messing around, doing nothing. I can't be getting into trouble or nothing. So it keeps me in a steady pace of just staying out of trouble. So all I do is go to work, go to practice, go home, get ready for bed, and do repeat.
You said 165?
Yeah.
So I have a question because when you say – I see on your Instagram, you say you're a student athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So – I'm not trying to be funny, but is the athlete part the boxing? Because clearly, like, I'm used to student athletes performing, obviously, at a collegiate level. So that's why I was asking. I didn't know if there was something else that you did, because I see that you skate and you paint, too.
Yeah, I do. I have
what
a
kind
of
skate?
Oh, man.
Roller skating or, like,
so
skateboard?
I do, even as far as, like, rollerblading, BMX biking. I've been skating since I was, like, young, like, 5'4". Like, as far as I can remember, but every day in the skate park type thing, I think my athletic skill would not be here if it weren't for skating or it helps with your hand eye coordination, you know, fast breaks, you know, you're used to just thinking quick, you know, and also retrying after every fall, just keep going. You feel me? So skating definitely is a part of me. During COVID, I picked up rollerblading. You know, we all had to kind of do something to sort of cope with the bullshit, right? So I just bought rollerblades one day, and I refused to, like, kind of relapse on whatever was, I don't know, you know, everyone was sitting inside. I didn't want to sit inside. I wanted to go out, stay in shape, work on my legs. The one thing boxers don't work on the most is their legs. So I bought rollerblades and just started staying in shape every day, skating. And, you know, if everybody's inside, I'm going to be outside on the streets surfing the concrete, you know? So, yeah.
So what's your name, brother?
Jahad Sowell.
Jahad. And what, Jahad or Jahad?
Jahad.
Okay.
Oh, Jahad, okay.
And how old are you?
20.
Okay, you're young. So how many fights do you have?
I only got 5. Yesterday was my 5th fight, yeah.
All right, so you just started. So you only got since the summer boxing.
My first fight was in 2020. Right before COVID hit, and then COVID, like, canceled so much shit for me.
Had you been training throughout that whole
absolutely,
time?
Absolutely, yeah. And I had 4 fights this year so far.
Okay.
So, you know,
what made you pick up boxing?
My dad always had me around it since I was little, you know.
So in what way? Like did just, he box or?
Yeah, he was a professional sparring partner. He trained a couple pros, like Mike Wilson, for example. I don't know if y'all know him. I've sparred with him. I've sparred with a couple of different pros, you know. But just one day, I just was.
You could definitely put it on the table right there.
Oh yeah, all right.
Yeah, man. Fuck it. Just let it get in the way. Fuck it.
Kind of wobbly.
So good.
But yeah, I just went up to him. I was like, "Pops, like I want to be like a fighter. I want to be a boxer." He was like, "All right, son. I'll train you." You know, we've been to a couple of different gyms. But I think everything is meant to be, and everything happens for a reason. And ever since, you know, I started training with Aaron and Myron, my level has just progressed tremendously. And I feel like it's really only up from here, for real.
Now, where, like, do you guys, how many people are in that boxing club? Because I heard it was pretty scarce over there.
Yeah.
With work and fighters in general.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you guys make it happen?
You know, I say people from Portland, when we come out, we have some pros like Miklo Arnold or like Victor Morales. We really, I want to spar.
I know Victor. I've known Victor since before he turned pro.
Yeah, Victor that signed a Porter at first, and then he was with Golden Boy.
Yeah.
But he's small, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't be sparring with him, but we know we have some people. Like, we have an exchange student. He's a Japanese boxer. He fights at 140. Like, we have some guys who really want to, like, I mean, this dude goes to the University of Oregon, so he just wanted to box with us. And it's incredible, like, seeing international skills from all over the world, and they want to be a boxer here in America. And, you know, we want to get some people. We've been just honestly reaching out. People will travel out to our club, or we'll travel out to Portland and just spar some people. If we
How got far is that for you? What's the drive like?
A couple hours, sometimes longer.
Yeah, I know I'm not tripping. Have you guys not reached out to Jose Benavidez? They're out there.
No, but they're, I mean.
They're in Washington, but
yeah.
I'm saying.
What part?
Oof.
It's Seattle,
yeah,
pretty sure.
Yeah, Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle.
Pretty
so,
sure. How
so,
far
David
is that?
Benavidez, you talking about David Benavidez,
yeah.
Brother?
Yeah.
How far is that
That's
for you?
That's one of my favorite fighters. Washington? Probably a little farther than Portland. A couple hours.
We're in, like, the upper part of Oregon, so I'd say Washington is really, like, honestly, 2.5 hours, 3-4 hours. It's not even, nah. But it depends on, like, what part of Washington. Like,
I
mean, like,
that is a little bit of a bitch for sparring.
No,
man.
But
to get there, you got to leave early.
No,
you in the car, so you need your coach to dry you so at least you could be sleep.
Look, I'm gonna tell you like this, though. I know for a fact that there's fighters who are considered title contenders that do make those.
Of course.
That do make those drives.
Of course,
you know?
But not
absolutely.
Amateurs that, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. If you want it, yes. But, like, they're still in college,
no,
though.
No, for sure.
You know,
for
you can't fuck
saying,
up school.
I'm just saying that they are out there. I mean, Washington is closer than Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you could get some work there.
No, but this was a tournament. They were here for a tournament.
No. But what I'm saying is because Vegas is known for all the great work. All the fighters come to get work in Vegas.
Yeah, which I needed to do was be here a little longer so you could get some sparring.
That was
right.
The plan, but I'm in a National Guard. I had to get released early from annual training. We were supposed to get here a little earlier.
Hold on. How the fuck you do that?
What you mean? I just, my commander, I'm in good with my commanders, you know, and they support my boxing career, and they,
boom,
they let me go, you know.
Yeah, I just got done doing a 7-year bid.
Yeah,
he
told me you was in the service.
Yeah, no, nah, yeah. So it's like, I'm like, how the fuck you, bro? Because I'm gonna tell you, they could give two fucks that I was, what I had going on in boxing. Like, they didn't care. They actually tried to stop me.
Yeah, but he's fighting. You're being a journalist to them, you know. This, like, remember, it'll be a Jamel Herron story, who was a Marine. And there's other boxers that come from the force. So that gets pushed. And then all of a sudden, what's that network? That whenever there's a Marine or an Air Force, that there's what is it, the AFN?
Nah, it doesn't matter who it is. They just do it regardless.
Shit, I don't know about that. I don't be seeing that logo until it's...
Well, so
one of you guys working.
AFN is the network that they
that
show,
picks it up.
That show worldwide for
exactly.
Military. For military.
Exactly.
So when I was out there every week, Showtime, ESPN, so it didn't matter who was fighting, they're just showing it.
Well, they wouldn't make a big deal of it unless the fighter was in the service.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, but regardless.
So this is your coach? Let me get a screen share.
Regardless, I know it's difficult for them to
my head coach right there.
Myron Johnson.
Okay.
I know it's difficult for them to care about, you know, anything that's not them. Like, and that's why I was asking, because you're talking about, yeah, he's a professional boxer, but I've literally seen guys being told, yeah, I know your kid's being born, but we got work to finish. So that's why I was asking. That's pretty cool. How long you been in the National Guard?
A little over 3 years now.
Okay.
October 5th, I'll hit my fourth year.
Okay. More. Liking it?
It's cool. It's definitely cool. It's made me a lot of money. It even got me out of, like, a real rough spot I was in my life.
Let's talk about it. What kind of rough spot?
You know, I had some personal family stuff going on. Had some stuff going on with my ex. And I kind of used it as an escape route, for real. You know, they contacted me. They was like, hey, like, you ain't been coming to drill. Like, you need to come to annual training. This was last summer. I was like, cool. And I went, and I just felt free. I just got away from the world. I really meditated on it, and I had actually took a break from boxing during this time, about 3 months. And after I came back, I was like, yeah, it's time to really put my foot on the gas. And I really started boxing. And then I went on the COVID hospital mission, and that took me out of boxing for like 2.5 months. But then ever since like November, that's when my orders was finished. And then we start training. And when I first started there, I was like 240-something, and Myron got me down to like 190, 197 to the 203 mark, and I walk around right there, you know. So
obviously, still so much more ahead of you,
mm-hmm.
But you did start high. How low do you think you can get, like, in a professional world?
Yeah, I was thinking that, too, because obviously he's going to have to be a cruiserweight or a light heavyweight as a pro. I mean, it's not even a question, mm-hmm. Unless your coach is going to build you into a heavyweight from right now, and
how
y'all going to start eating.
Like 6'3" and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's short.
See, and that's
like Brian Jennings.
And that's what I'm
I
saying.
I mean, you
like,
could do it with that height.
Yeah,
if you want to be
saying.
A heavyweight,
at first,
you can.
My dad was saying I was going to do heavyweight, but Myron really got me down. I feel way more comfortable at this weight. I feel like this is the actual my size. Because, like, my nickname is Biggie. Like, growing up, everyone called me Biggie. I was always the biggest dude. But it's, like, I always knew in the back of my mind, when I step up in competition, no matter what it is as an athlete, I'm always going to be smaller.
Yes.
Always going to be someone way bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm a very small heavyweight, you know. So that's why I feel like cruiserweight is a good match for me for when I turn pro.
I don't even know if that's a good match. Because you only got 5 fights.
Mm.
I don't even know that you're training in a manner – you know, that you know your real weight. Like when you, I mean, that's why most people, like when they get invited to like a world-class camp, they always come back like, I didn't know that a world champion trains like that. I didn't know he runs like that. I didn't know he does that much. And then you step up your game. So and that's going to allow you to drop. Like, look at Jamel Herron. He started at 35, went back with BoMac and became a champ at 30, right?
Yeah,
and now he moved up to 35. But that was
retired, but, yeah.
But that was how many years ago? Yeah, he's retired. At what age? At what age did he regress? When people thought, you know, he was done, he dropped the weight and became a champ at 30. So again, I'm just saying, it could be cruiserweight, or it could be a little bit.
I mean, it could be super middle.
Smaller.
Look at David.
True.
I mean,
David was a fucking heavyweight.
David was bigger than what you was. You said 240. David was bigger than that, and he had super middle.
Nah, he was 270, but that was just young. He was like, what he said, 14?
Yeah, he was young, but that's what I'm saying. He was only 240. So what I'm saying, David was bigger and got down.
Oh, I didn't hear that. You were 240?
I was 261. That was the heaviest I ever was.
Oh,
but when I start training with them, I was 240 because
okay.
I was on a hospital mission.
I
was doing some working out.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, yeah, no. Where were you at on the hospital mission?
Damn, 240, so you ain't had no muscle.
Hold on, where you was at in the hospital mission?
I was in Medford, Oregon.
Oh, okay, so you was locally just
mm-hmm.
helping out. Okay.
Helping out at the hospital, yeah.
Okay, okay.
So you was just sloppy or what? Because I'm trying to figure out how 240 look on you, because you look lean right now.
Yeah,
so it's where the 240 at?
Hey, show them the before and after.
Yeah, you got the pic?
I got a pic.
Is it on your Instagram?
What is it?
What's your Instagram?
Biggie underscore underscore. The I is a one.
Oh, I think I got it right here. How far do I got to go back?
Just scroll down a little.
Oh, this side by side or go further?
Yeah, it's the side by side.
Because this one say 261.
Yeah.
Okay, you was not. I mean, you definitely.
Pull it up, man, so we could.
Definitely pudgy there. You lean the motherfucker right now. You even look taller.
I think he's buffer now.
Yeah,
for
I'm
real.
Now I posted this back in like February.
For real.
Yo, it's crazy.
My first cut down, and then like I built muscle, and I like.
So that picture on the right that says February 2022.
Yeah.
When did you start training? Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, if that was May, when did you start training? Because clearly, you know,
November.
May.
November. So, like.
So, from November to
May.
February, you went from that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
From 240. But, so from May to, like, October-ish, I went from 260 to 240.
Okay.
And then from November to February, I went from like 240 to 199.
That's 4 months.
Well, you working for sure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of running. What is it?
A lot of running, a lot of calisthenics, a lot of lightweights, dieting for real. I'll be fasting a lot.
I wanted to ask you guys, because being amateur fighters, you weighing in day of.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, in tournaments, when you win and you advance, now you got to do shit every day. So how has that been for you guys making that adjustment?
Making sure it's 3 to 5 miles a day, doing our daily 300-something to even more sit-ups than that, or up to maybe even 200 push-ups a day. Just doing our minimums every day and then sparring after all those. It just feels like, you know, it creates.
You mean like making weight wise or like eating wise?
Yeah. I'm saying because shit, having to weigh in every day, like if you like that, to me in my head, I'm like, damn, because it's like you can eat, but you can still only eat but so much because you still got to do the same shit over. So I was just
I got the perfect answer for you. I ain't gonna lie, I was thinking the same thing. The night before my fight. So I had a bye first in the tournament, right? Because my opponent, I was warming up with my coach and everything. As soon as I was going to go up, they was like, oh, your opponent, your match was scratched. Your opponent had an injury to his eye during training camp or something. I was like, bro, what? So I was like, whatever, it's a bye. I'll just fight tomorrow in the finals. We ate spaghetti. I had hella bowls of spaghetti. I had a banana. I had some Mott's fruit snacks. I was chugging Pedialyte water. And I was like 203 on the dot. Like I went from 197 to 203 on the dot, right? I just chugged like 2 cups of warm lemon water. I slept with a hoodie on. I woke up in the morning. I was 198 again.
Bro, I woke him up.
I didn't shit. I ain't pissed. I ain't nothing. I was 197 on the dot. As soon as I woke up, took a hot shower, and went and weighed in. And then went to Denny's, ate steak, hash browns. Just everything.
That's funny because that sounds like I used to play football. That sounds like a football meal, like the spaghetti. Like we literally would have the football moms make the big ass pans of spaghetti.
Spaghetti, my favorite.
I never ate that shit.
I could eat spaghetti breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Never ate that. Never.
That's the secret before her.
Yeah, they say the starch is good.
Mm-hmm.
It sticks to your stomach for the fight.
Yeah, I used to do the bananas before games. Mm. I used to do just bananas.
I love
bro.
Bananas. Is hella good.
So, what do you think about pickle juice and pickles?
Oh, that's look. I
sounds strange to me.
I don't know. I literally just
I've
saw
never.
Somebody.
I mean, are you
no,
just
no, no.
saying like as a snack, or you're saying as like some sort of fat burner?
Yeah, it kind of like keeps you from cramping too. So and also
okay, see,
never BYU football does it.
That might be my new question. I've never heard a fighter talk about pickle juice
when
or pickles.
When I was in boot camp, our drill sergeants used to make us carry around mustard packets. And every time we get a crab, cramp, we just suck one down, and that shit went away instantly.
You know, it's funny. I've heard that for heartburn, too.
Heartburn?
Yeah, mustard. Yeah. Literally just put, like, a tablespoon of mustard. I'm like, nah, I'll just stick to my tongue, yo. Pepto-Bismol, that's what that's for. Yeah, no, pickle juice, I ain't never heard that for cramps.
Never.
I've never heard it. Bananas, obviously, are, like, notorious for cramps. Never heard of the pickle juice. But that's kind of weird. I don't know that I'd want to, you know, I'd want to try it. Have you tried it?
Yeah,
has it worked?
I mean, I'm not really like I wasn't so like religious about it. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't heavy on it. But and worst case scenario, it's something salty. I feel like salt keeps you from essentially like cramping up, or sunflower seeds. You know, in some football games back in the day when I was playing ball, like if I'm cramping up, or you know, I got with my athletic trainer, but here, take some sunflower seeds, or some homies would have like a jar without the pickles, just the juice, just drink it. Crazy. I know, bro. Crazy,
yeah, that sounds, that's different.
I never even had pickle juice.
I can't even stand pickles.
Anything.
I hate pickles. I hate tomatoes. Ugh. I can't do none of that.
Man.
But it's so ironic because I love spaghetti, but I hate tomatoes. It don't even make no sense. But I feel like it's different.
So what's the goal for you? I mean, you're only 5 fights in, but you're slightly younger. Do you plan on turning pro?
Absolutely. I want to turn pro. I mean, I want to win at least a couple of national tournaments, whether it's Golden Gloves or for the qualifiers. But
how long is that going to take you guys to win 4 nationals?
We have nationals next month in August, and then we have nationals in December for like U.S. like USA internationals. They're like 2 different nationals, but next year will be another 2. So.
So it's only 2 per year?
Yeah, so.
That's some bullshit. Mm-hmm. Is it because it's only in your area? Could you travel to another one or something?
You know, they have...
Because I don't... I mean, I'm not...
Yeah, because...
Very...
Qualifiers. I think qualifiers.
I'm not very versed in amateurs like that. So I don't know, like, if I fight in Oregon, can I just drive to fucking Atlanta and there's another Nationals there and drive to New York? And I need to do that then.
Because I know I've... what is it? Is it... Is it Louisiana where they do the
Shreveport?
Nationals?
Yeah, the
so
Nationals.
It varies. Like this year is going to be Oklahoma.
Oh, where?
I believe before COVID.
Shout out to Izzy.
Yeah, Tulsa. It'll be in Tulsa.
Okay.
Yep.
Shout out to Jeremiah Milton.
Yeah, Jeremiah.
A couple years, I think before COVID, it was in Kansas City.
Mm.
So it just kind of, they go all over the place, but where everyone can meet in the middle. So it's really interesting.
Okay.
But this will be our first time traveling that far, you know. But we plan to actually go all over the U.S., you know, after this experience, and especially being in Vegas. I never thought we could lose weight this like, ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous.
Vegas
compared to Oregon, bro, how, like, cold it can be up there. We got to be, like, working and running and getting hot, sauna suits. Out here, it's like I could walk, literally, like, be outside and sweat, and I can make weight easy.
Mm.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
That's so funny because...
We were saying the opposite yesterday.
Yeah, we were saying the opposite. Like, we were saying how, like, if you were in a city like Houston or
yesterday
Miami...
Yesterday was 110, bro. Yesterday was 110, and I didn't sweat at all. And that's all I kept telling him. Like, yo, if this would have been Florida, you know what I'm saying? And it would have been 93 degrees in Florida or New Jersey, I'd have been sweating. Like, this right here, wet. You know what I'm saying? I'd have been...
Nah, see, that's because you got to put the deodorant under your man boots, bro.
Nah, bro. I don't... First off, I've lost hella weight. I don't got none of those,
so
but
then,
deodorant.
Why else would you be sweating right there?
Because my stomach. If you ain't got no six-pack, motherfucker, that chest sitting on something. We ain't them. Yes. But,
listen, have you been to Oregon, bro?
It
gets cold,
I mean, so what's the plan? Y'all both grown-ups. I mean, if you serious about boxing, when y'all getting to Vegas, it's cheap as fuck out here, let me tell you. Like, for rent.
I ain't gonna lie, we've been...
What? You making faces? You don't think it's cheap? Engineer Austin?
No, I had an apartment I was paying $774 like a few years ago. It's now $1,500.
Oh,
Oh, rent is not cheap.
Yeah, but that's because you're a local. That's because you're a local, and same thing for him. Like, he came from somewhere else and found it extremely cheap, and now he's
right.
Like,
if you're coming from Oregon or California, it's cheap here.
But take a look at Bo. He just came over. He's like, bro, I was paying this for an apartment. I have a whole house here. You know what I'm saying? So it is different.
Now,
and believe me, I seen rent yesterday for a whole house for $1,493. It was listed that they were getting that for several years because I'm buying. So the house that I was looking at, they rented it, you know, at $1,453. Or not the one I'm buying, but one I was looking at, they were renting it. And I'm like, damn, that's pretty cheap. And my girl was like, no, that's decent. And I'm like, yeah, decent for the person is renting. Pretty cheap for me as a landlord. Like, I want to make more than that. I don't know. Hell no. That shit was a whole house.
Nah, you ain't getting that shit now, man, because I agree with Austin. Bro, when I moved out here, like, I'm from Chicago. Shit out here, I'm like, damn, it's so cheap.
Yeah, but
like,
again, where? Because you see where I'm looking. I'm looking a little more removed from this area.
No, and I was removed from this area. I'm saying, like, I had a nice apartment, and I'm like, damn, I was paying $9. In Chicago, I was paying $8. For some shit in the hood.
Well, fuck all that. It's two of them. They better room up. I see them taking pictures together. Shit. Go
make
room up.
Make
it happen.
Crazy. Yeah. We already talked about, like, when we have more fights and we get a little bit more well-known, like, we're going to think about moving to Vegas together. I was supposed to move to Vegas from Medford, but I moved to Eugene instead and ended up training with them. So I feel like that was more meant to be type shit right there, you know. So.
For sure, but that's that was just one phase, you know. You probably were meant to link up with him so that y'all both could make the move, you know what I mean? Because it's easier with a friend than it would be to move out here alone, completely alone, you know what I mean? At least you have a buddy that's into it, but...
I would rather, buy a little house. I got my uncle, he was in the military for, I think, about 10-plus years and stationed out in Hawaii, but he wants to move out to Vegas. So, you know, we're thinking about he buy a house and then, boom, roommates... Cool,
make it happen.
But yeah, that's the done deal, man. We're definitely going to be coming out here, but it's just a matter of when, you know, in terms of experience. And we've been just constantly going.
Well, that's why I'm pushing it, because experience is what you're going to get here. You're going to get a reality check. Mm-hmm. You're either going to want to do it or you realize it's not for you because, I mean, there's work everywhere. You know,
yeah,
and
look,
there's tournaments here. I mean, there was just a tournament. They had a green belt. Now in August, they're going to have another one in the Resorts World. So, like, you will actually get fights here. And California's right there. So you'll get more fights. If you really want to fight and advance your amateur career, I mean, Oregon is, like, not a boxing state.
Nope.
And I know your coach may not like what
I'm
saying, but
it's
just the fucking truth, you know?
No, he knows.
If you want to go, because you're 23, you still got time if you're going to eat and be a heavyweight. You know what I'm saying? But, like,
look, perfect example, like, who said Mike Wilson? You say you sparred Mike Wilson, right? I know he's from Bedford, right?
Yeah.
It's like he had the opportunity with Michael Hunter, right? So I don't know what type of work he's getting out there, but you look at Michael Hunter out here, I just saw him sparring Joe Joyce. You know,
Johnny Rice, Joe Joyce.
Like,
he was offered to spar Lawrence Okoli, which, if you would have been here, because you know me, Lawrence was looking for sparring. I got him to sparring with Johnny Rice. So I could have been like, oh, I got this amateur kid. And I don't know if you remember, that dude didn't even have amateur fights.
Oh, yeah. No, there was a guy that sparred.
There's a fucking guy. Yo, shout out to him. We got to get his name.
He a real one. He just started
boxing in January. My man from Bones should text me right now or DM me.
Yeah, because they listening.
Because they listening.
Bro, he start. We don't know his name. He started boxing in January. Like, picked up the sport in January.
Got in there with Coley. I mean,
he looked world champion.
He looked crazy. Like, some of them shots he was throwing, and he was like, it looked like he was going for the shoot. But he got in there with a world champ, and the world champ wasn't, like, backing up at first. I had to go around the corner, like, yo, you know he ain't got no fights. Like, he's not an amateur. He's like, nah, they told us. I'm like, okay, ain't look like they told you because you put some leather on that boy, you know what I'm saying?
But, no, he got some rounds in. So
he did.
You know, just going to show, like, obviously, you definitely could get some top-level workout here.
And there's so many gyms here. Like, we talk about the popular ones, but there's so many gyms here that it's like every day someone is like, yo, come to our gym. I'm like, what the fuck?
Let me tell you, probably I've been out here 7 years, been around so many big names. The most, probably the craziest sparring I've ever seen was in Barry's, and that's a gym that's so underappreciated. Nobody really talks about it, but
Crazy boxing.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we were, that's where we fought at.
I saw
their guys too. Me and them fought their champs.
Okay. Mm. Oh wow.
It was it was quite.
We
the
beat
experience.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Tank called the owner at like 2 in the morning to come open the gym because there was another fighter talking shit. And he like, fuck it, we're going to settle this right now.
Oh.
So I got to see Tank spar at Barry's at like 3 a.m. a couple years back. So there's so many gyms, so many opportunities. Bro, it's, like I said, been out here 7 years. There's gyms I've never even stepped foot in because it's like, damn, how long you been here? Oh, been here 15 years. I'm like, never knew, you know?
Honestly, first day we showed up at night, I was like, yo, we got to go to a gym. And it was like 8 p.m. We walked over to City Boxing. It's more downtown, so we didn't know where the hell we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But we went to the nearest gym, and we walked. I mean, we were walking. I think it had been like two miles. And
yeah,
they were open.
He be dying in his
bed. Oh, man. We were walking there, and they were closed. So I'm like, all right, well, let me just see if I can call somebody. So I call the phone number, and Coach answers. And he said, oh, I noticed you're a 541 number. That's the Oregon number. My daughter, she goes to school at the university. So I was like, oh, cool, yeah, man. He's like, I wouldn't have picked up the phone if this wasn't
an Oregon number.
Yeah, you know, it could have been my daughter. I was like, yeah, man, we fight out of West Eugene Boxing. So we're out here. We're just trying to get some training. He said, oh, okay, cool, come in the morning. So what we did was like, okay, well, we're here already. So we're just going to do a workout outside. It was hot.
Oh, that's the Instagram when y'all start working out. Mm-hmm. But that was late night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't care, bro. We was just kind of doing some little it wasn't like necessarily sparring.
It's more like
sparring.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we did break into a sprint, you know, just trying to get hot and just, you know, get that get to understand the what's it called?
Elevation. Like heat or air, just air in general, cuz I ain't going to lie, like that ring yesterday was just so hot.
Mm-hmm.
It was just hot as hell.
And no, it's different out here.
Oh, God, for real.
Man, it's different. It's different.
Actually, Victor, when Victor got signed to Sean Porter, like I was in the gym when they did the press conference to announce the signing. It was 1:15 that day. It was the day of Terrence Crawford, Victor Posto. We was going outside in the 1:15 heat because it felt better outside than it did in the gym.
Oh, God.
Crazy.
It's getting hot in there.
Yeah, you know, I noticed, I saw Kamel Morton the other day. He was wearing, you know, from top to bottom, he was in a hoodie, and he was wearing, like, leggings, everything, like, in this hot weather. And
now you get used, I'm telling you, look, I'm wearing pants. You get used to it. And honestly, you do put clothes on because that motherfucker burns.
No, let me,
you know what I'm saying? It's not hot. It's the rays, I guess, that just the.
It's
fuck,
like
I don't
driving
know.
A motorcycle. You got to dress for the slide, not for the ride. It's just like you got to dress to not get burned.
Yeah, they talk
burned.
About the elevation, so I feel like we closer to the motherfucking sun. Because you stick your hand out, that shit like, whoa, bitch, put that back in. Like my roof yesterday, I was driving all day looking at houses. Like the top of my shit, I could feel a little heat thing. If I turn that AC off and try to put it just to the feet, man, you kidding me? But it's still not like Florida or New Jersey. I tell you that
still
right now.
Still not enough. You're telling me this.
Bro, no, it's no humidity, man.
I'm from Chicago. I'm from Chicago.
No humidity.
I tell people I'll take 110 here before I take 90 in Chicago any day of the week.
And I'm second in that. I'll take it. I'll take that.
Bro, look.
I'll take 110. Yesterday's 110 over anything in Florida or anything in Jersey. I don't give a fuck. It's so humid over there.
Bro, I'm Mexican, so it's like. Any bit of humidity, I get to sweating. You're going to smell freshly cut grass and tequila.
Well, and you know what it is, though? Vegetation causes the humidity, you know what I'm saying? Because the rain and the leaves, you know, they perspire. So it's always going to be more humid in the Garden State or down Florida where it's fucking swampy.
I mean,
and hella.
Obviously, they're around water, too, like Jersey's on the water, Florida, clearly, Chicago, even
but
still,
you like
figure, Michigan right there.
No, see, you get this thing in your head that you're like, oh, I'm going to live on the water. I'm going to get a cool breeze. Fuck out. That shit's, like, sticky. When you get hit with that breeze, now your skin is, like, sticky.
See, I don't. And it's crazy because I was arguing this with somebody who actually moved to Florida, moved to Tampa.
But they're going to lie to you.
And they told me, they're like, bro, what are you talking about? They're like, out here, it feels like a blow dryer. Out there, they're like, you just feel like a cool breeze because it is humid. It just feels cool. So I don't
know. Man, when the fuck was humidity cool?
I don't know, bro. I don't live in Florida.
Live both places.
He got
the
motorcycle. He like, yeah, bro, I ride on the bike. You just feel great, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man, fuck
man,
that.
Well,
I don't like the sweat.
I think I can get down to 156 now that, like, I've realized how much weight I can lose in a span of 20 minutes of working out here compared to just being
what
out.
What you walk around at?
I walk around at 75. I'm 6 flat.
You're six foot flat,
so I could just, you know.
If you get the 52, you're definitely cutting, but you should because
it's 56 out for
Earl fought at 52 in the amateurs, and we all know he get big.
How much? I mean, see, I want to know how much you walk around at. See, that's, don't
I mean,
walk around.
Well, he said himself that he said himself he cut 35 pounds. What was it for the? Ooh, come on, Almanac.
Was it Danny?
One of the fights? Nah, I think it was before the accident. But that's when, you know, he got
Mikey?
with a strip. Yeah, probably Mikey cut 35 pounds for.
I'm gonna be able to do that.
But bro, I'm gonna be honest with you though. I mean, that's another humid city.
What, Dallas?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
But I've known people to be in the gym. They're like that. Those are just his genetics. They're like he's dropping 20 pounds, 15 pounds.
Regardless.
They're like,
I mean, I've seen him work. He's an animal. He's an animal. See, people don't know, like, and you know, people be wanting me in their gym, but it's bad because I tell the truth. Like Earl, you know, sparring, he's an animal. After sparring, he hitting the bag like he fighting. Like he's still sparring. There's so many fighters that don't do that. These dudes be lazy as fuck, man. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why Earl could lose all that weight, because even after sparring, he's still working hard as fuck on that bag. The way Devin is shadow boxing, Earl beating the shit out of that bag after he done beat heavyweights, light heavyweights, super middleweights in the ring. You see it yourself. How many dudes get out of sparring 8-12 rounds and go actually hit the bag?
No,
you try to record him like, nah, I'm tired. It's like hot and behind the bag and shit. Bro, these dudes ain't working. I'm keeping it real. There's a lot of dudes out here that's not working.
Yeah, no, for sure. And see, I've been out here a minute, so I instantly picked up like, okay, cool. Like, you like that. Look, it ain't for me to
say.
Yeah,
but then you get in a fight and somebody pushing you and you overexerted. You're tired. You're anxious and you lost your motherfucking fight because you ain't getting pushed. You need to be pushed. These guys need to work. So a lot of people need to work.
You know, I think in a good way and in a humble way, it's damn near good that y'all in Oregon, because I feel like a issue with some people that come to Vegas, I think that they come too immature and they get caught up with what they see, right? Because when they coming out here, they usually know a fighter. So it's like somebody already doing it, somebody already making some money, somebody already driving a nice car. And I feel like a lot of people get caught up in that and don't realize how the fuck they got here. Because I'm telling you, bro, we go to gyms and it's like he'll get mad, but I've seen it for so many years that it's like,
yeah, he's not a talker.
How am I going to
I'm letting their ass know you ain't working and you're going to lose and you ain't win no fucking round and you ain't going to win no fight like that. You know what I'm saying? If they don't like me, kick me the fuck out. But I'm not going to lie to you. I don't give a fuck about being nobody's friend. But look, I got 3 questions. It's probably going to turn into more, but I'm not going to be able to give you all 3 because we are definitely over by 8 minutes. Our next guest is over there. And I did my best to squeeze you guys in.
We appreciate you.
Thank you for having But us. Please give out both your social media for anybody who isn't following, can follow you guys in the journey.
Yeah. My Instagram is biggie__. It's BIGGY, but the I is a 1 and then just underscore.
So why didn't you just choose your name?
What you mean?
Yeah, your name.
What's your name?
Oh, Jahad Sowell. My fault. It's in my Instagram bio. My name, Jahad Sowell.
But the username, like, is Biggie.
Biggie.
Yeah, that's the nickname. So
yeah, no. The only reason he says that is because obviously, like, you are trying to make a name for yourself. You're not known. You're still an amateur.
Mm-hmm.
So for people, it'll be easier for them to look you up by your first and last name versus by your nickname, because
if you fought in a tournament, they're gonna Google boop. Your name gonna come out, and then it's like, where's his Instagram? It's gonna be not linked or very hard to associate.
Yeah, I was.
And social media, I mean, you know, not to drag it out, but we seen Ryan renegotiate his contracts based off social media. Yeah. So yours was?
Yeah, on Instagram is AA Ron Thompson. So A_A, RON and Thompson.
So you guys have a couple of questions here from the people, but they're not really personalized. They're more about your opinions on other fights and or your favorite fighter. So we'll take one for the both of you. Who are your favorite fighters to watch in this generation? And what are the goals you all want to complete by the end of 2022?
Cool. I would say I'm going to go on my goals first. before a favorite fighter. Because I like to watch everybody fight. Honestly, I can't say like one guy specifically, but with goals, I want to be able to have at the University of Oregon. We're bringing boxing to the University of Oregon, so the goal is to bring at least like Golden Gloves to the university because it's getting popular. You know, I've been working there for like 10 months. And I managed to get my coach in there to start coaching. They're paying him to coach classes there. And so, I mean, I just was talking to the right person. You know, I just was looking around, trying to meet people, find connections. And so the goal is to be at the University of Oregon and at least bring collegiate boxing to the University of Oregon. Because the University of Washington does it as well. Like, they are uniformed out and everything. And so I can see, you know, the UO having, you know Nike's college, you know, looking good with our uniforms and boxing, and you know, my coach could be coaching there. And, you know, it's a nice little gig that we're creating right now.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Definitely something that's needed.
As for my favorite fighter, I like to watch Caleb Plant. Definitely, the dude's got I don't know if it's anger or a chip on his shoulder or whatever, but the way he carries himself, you know, he's a hard worker and, I want to see him even go far as fighting Benavidez. I like watching the 165 weight class, 155. Honestly, I like watching everybody, just seeing how they make it and what they do and seeing, you know, I guess sort of comparing and seeing, you know, my potential. Sean Porter, I love what he's doing with the amateur, you know, creating that app. You know, I'm the one that asked him when he was on the show on here. I was the one that asked him. I said, "Hey, Sean, is USA Boxing or is amateur boxing versus pro boxing? Are there robberies more so in pros or amateurs?" And you know, just asking him that question was like interesting. You know, you can hop on the
Patreon.
I'm a Patreon.
All okay,
right? I'll be asking. I'm telling y'all, bro. I love you guys' show, so I
appreciate it, man.
Thank you, truly.
Being able to ask those questions is, you know, it gets you more interested in the sport. And,
not just that, but obviously you're directly involved versus, you know, where else could you ask a world champion a question and he actually answers it, you know? Right. We were here when Devin came back from Australia, it was literally like an hour and 15 minutes of questions from the fans,
right,
you know, so it was beautiful. But our next guest is here, guys. We will take a quick intermission, take a picture with these gentlemen, and get back in here for our next guest of the day.
Let's do it.
You think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Because when he has been in the bright lights and enjoying his time, having fun and lapping up, no problem. You're the big celebrity. You're in the bright lights. I've been in the dark, in the trenches, in the gym.
TheBoxingBoys.com.
And the new IBO, WBO, WBA.
Big boss, when does camp start? Camp started as soon as I paid Teddy for my life. As soon as I batted him and took all his belts, camp started the next day.
Ah, what a right hand from Gorkhan Malkin! And the takeover went down!
He's a good villain, though.
Yeah,
he's a good villain.
Would have bought anybody. Lomachenko, Devin Haney. Unfortunately, Lomachenko's not available. Beautiful. Devin Haney, step up. Now we'll take your belt.
Yes, promotion.
But he says, finish his fight as a king. What's a king to an emperor?
You are now locked into the Boxing Voice live from Las Vegas with Nesta Gibbs and Ringwalk Danny.
Let's start with this. I'm a creative genius.
SBS.
And now, the most dangerous producer on YouTube, Brandon in Houston.
You're now locked into the king of all boxing podcasts, The Boxing Voice. Jab that like button.
theboxingvoice.com.
What is it? They don't like the Charlotte. You like the Charlotte?
The unified WBA, WBC, and IBF 154-pound champion of the world.
I'm happy. I'm angry. I'm passionate.
The WBC middleweight champion of the world.
No, I think you're a great fighter. And
I
like,
know that. I know that already. They say, oh, the Charlotte ain't fought nobody. Like I said, I went to the top already. I seen the bottom before. At the top, I seen the bottom. I went back down to the bottom and shot back the fuck back up. Now, what they mad at me for?
It's not like old school boxing. For the best, like the best no more. It's about politics. It's about who you know, who you are, who, if you got a crowd behind you.
Beat your ass in your way decision. This kid, you can be one of them. Fucking with me, you gonna get knocked the fuck out. I'm a knockout artist, baby. If we stand by lines only, just like we made this up, we gonna ride with it. We gonna ride with it till the day we die.
Jermell. Jamal. Charlo.
SDS Promotions.
Shut the fuck up,
oh,
you
yeah?
little prick.
Yeah?
Yeah, prick. Come on, get him out of here.
Move him out of here.
SDS Promotions.
Jerry's the name, and fucking fighting's the game. His heart's rattling now. His balls have sunk up inside of him. There's a man here that's going to annihilate your daughter.
TheBoxingBoys.com.
The heavyweight champion of the world. The greatest fighter that's ever lived. Ever laced a pair of boxing gloves on. Ever stood in a boxing arena. Me, the Dicky King.
Fury, under the hands of Sugar Hill, is just a different beast. He's a different monster.
Joshua's a coward. Who takes a pussy and Dylan White don't want to fight? So you can prove me wrong, get to fucking fighting. These are all coward bum dossers. I'll annihilate the lawyers and destroyers, submit yous, tap you bitches out.
Fury's just too intelligent. When he has to box, he boxes. When he's got a triple jab, he triple jabs.
If he holds a handful of stones and throws them at me, he may have a chance of landing them. Chicken! Joshua, where are you? Where are you, AJ? AJ!
Dylan White's a bitch. I want to see you. You've got to fight me anyway.
Taking supernatural strength.
Fury's throwing the right hand!
SDS Promotion.
I can smash your face in two. There's not one thing you can do about it.
You think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Because when he has been in the bright lights and enjoying his time, having fun and lapping up, no problem. You're the big celebrity. You're in the bright lights. I've been in the dark, in the trenches, in the gym.
TheBoxingVoice.com.
And the new IBO, WBO, WBA, WBC franchise, and Ring Magazine.
They've asked me, when does camp start? Camp started as soon as I bet TV from my life. As soon as I batted him, took all his belts, camp started the next day.
Ah, what a right hand!
He's a good villain, though. He's a good villain.
Could have fought anybody. Lomachenko, Devin Haney. Unfortunately, Lomachenko is not available. Beautiful. Devin Haney, step up. That will take your belt. But he says, finish his fight as a king. What's a king to an emperor?
You are now locked into the Boxing Voice live from Las Vegas with Nesta Gibbs and Ringwalk Danny.
Let's start with this. I'm a creative genius.
SDS.
And now, the most dangerous producer on YouTube. Brandon in Houston.
Brandon in Houston. SDS
Promotions. You're now logged into the king of all boxing podcasts, The Boxing Voice. Jab that like button.
TheBoxingVoice.com.
What is it? They don't like to follow. We like to follow.
You think darkness is your ally?
We're going to ride with it to the day we die.
Jermell. Jamal. Charlo.
SDS Promotions.
Shut the fuck up, little prick.
Yeah?
Yeah, you prick. Come on, get him out of here.
Get him out of here.
SDS Promotions.
Yo, I wonder, did Coppinger ever get a credential after that? He's like, get him the fuck out of here. He's like, oh, yeah?
What do you mean? You want to see? Of course.
Yeah, I'm just saying, bro. Yeah. Bob seemed very upset that day. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he was upset. He seemed very upset. But we're going to go jumping straight into our next interview. And this particular fighter trains out of Bones Adams Gym, correct, Bo? Is this the Lithuanian?
Costa Rica.
Oh, Costa Rica. Oh, yeah, I think I seen him spar at Top Rank. I think I seen him spar at Top Rank. So, do we have the...
Yeah, I got his box rec pulled up. So, Arturo Izquierdo. Izquierdo.
6-2. How many knockouts?
2 KOs.
Hmm.
And then he just had a victory. Oh, so he's been out the ring a while. Okay. But yeah, we definitely gonna get to
be send me that link.
Yeah, we definitely gonna be able to talk to him.
Hey man, we staying true to our motto: big, little, small. Interview them all.
Interview them all. You know, baby.
Especially if you are in Las Vegas, whether it's locally visiting, you know, we definitely want to get you on the Breakfast Club of Boxing. Gracias por venir. Me encontraste fácil.
Sí, yo vivo cerca de aquí.
Okay.
Do you speak English? Habla inglés o?
Sí, inglés.
Okay, so we'll do it.
Oh, so you good with the English?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, we'll do it in English.
I mean, Costa Rica is, you know.
Have you been out there, Ness?
Absolutely not.
Damn.
I've done many, many searches. Many searches to Costa Rica. The thing is that the resorts are always more expensive than the Dominican Republic, than Jamaica, and even Mexico. So I always end up going to my nice other three Caribbean islands, but I've always wanted to go to Costa Rica. They actually have a lot of nice resorts, so... one day I will make it. I dated a Costa Rican woman, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to you. Arturo, how are you, man? Thank you for joining
us. Everything good. Getting ready, or staying ready, actually.
Getting ready for me?
Yeah.
Oh man, wow. I appreciate it. Yeah. You could bring those on. I appreciate it. Yeah, bring those on. I appreciate the gift. Thank you, gentlemen. Oh man, y'all funny as hell. Y'all got some Mexican. Yo, shout out to y'all, bro. I appreciate it.
So you drink Corona?
Nah, but I will this weekend.
There you go.
Got it. Appreciate y'all. Thank you, bro.
You guys are official. Yeah, I hope that means he got me some Red Bull. What the fuck?
Oh shit.
So how long have you been in Las Vegas?
I think 5 years.
Oh wow.
Okay.
So you've been here a long time.
Relatively, but yeah, it has felt like a long time.
I mean, you're definitely settled in.
Yeah. Well, now I'm even married.
Oh, wow. So you got married here in Vegas?
Yeah.
You met your wife here in Vegas?
Yeah, I was giving her a boxing personal lesson.
Look at that. We ended up together. This guy, he knows this was coming. The minute you said that, I know in his back of his mind, he's like, fuck, he's going to bring it up. He tells me he can't find a woman in Vegas. This is the worst city to find a woman. And look. He found love, baby. Tell us all about it. So you were training her. And then, I mean, you know, we were just talking to a trainer. We're not going to say his name. And we asked him the same thing. Like, hey, do you date your clients? He's like, oh, no, I try not to do that. How'd you cross that line? Well, was it her that made the...
Yeah, she did.
Oh, she made... Which? Tell me about it. Would you shy now?
Like, tell that she clearly liked me.
Okay.
I wasn't you know, initially I was like a
student, please. Thank you.
It was like a professional way that I would approach everybody, but what can I say? Like, life puts you in certain situations sometimes that stuff ends up happening, you know, like, though I was in a very bad situation in my life, and a friend of mine invited me to a bar to go for a beer, and he called her, and that's where it all started.
Oh, so
you already knew her because you were training her,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden she's at this bar with you.
Yeah.
So you knew it's like, all right, this is my time. I have to at least talk to her.
Well, of course.
Outside of, you know, business.
Yeah.
And how'd that go?
Completely great. Like, let's say we started when we got together. A month later, we ended up getting married.
Holy smoke. So you wasted no time. Wow. So that's definitely love at first sight.
Yeah, we've been married for 4 years.
Wow.
So right after you got out.
What did your mother say? You're Latino. What did your mother say?
Oh, they all gave me their blessings.
After a month?
Yeah.
Well, wow.
Now, I was going to say, I don't know how it is in the DR, bro, but I feel like in Mexico, I feel like that's some normal shit. Like, you meet a girl, they get married, they're like 17, and then, you know, they just start having kids.
But my country is not normal, but...
Yeah, no.
Really? Yeah, no, because no, I'm serious. In Mexico, yo, like, my dad has nephews that are like 16 and already got...
No, I mean, listen, I get what you're saying. Definitely older men date younger women
my
country.
No, not just... I'm just saying, regardless, they get... I feel like shit happens just fast and young and...
I guess, but not in America.
No, definitely.
A month is quick.
Yeah.
You know? Well, so did you guys move right in together?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
As soon as we became like girlfriend and boyfriend, I moved in with her.
That's crazy.
But, you know...
It's been going great.
Yeah, it's just that...
How's it changed you for your career? How's it made you better as a boxer?
Oh, I fight for her.
Okay.
I train for her. Everything is motivated to give her a better life.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's kind of a long story.
We got time.
But I was... I had been homeless for 8 months.
Out here?
I was sleeping at a gym. I'm not going to say the name, but it was a very rough time, you know. And she invited me to go to start going, living in her place.
Mm.
And it all fell.
Right.
You know.
It worked. It felt right. No, that's a blessing.
So why you got two wedding rings on?
No, that's not one.
But it's like two fingers.
Yeah, he got one wedding ring and then he got a ring on his middle finger.
They're like two bands, though. Come on. It's like two wedding bands. Like...
Well, they were initially, this one was a wedding ring, too. But...
You see, there's a story behind everything, Danny.
Yeah,
so who you were married before?
No, not nobody.
Oh.
No, it was our wedding ring, but this one got stretched and I had to get a new one. And since this finger is bigger, I put it there.
Damn. Okay. So he just goes like this. Stay away. He's committed.
Yeah.
But talk to us, man. You've been out here 5 years fighting, but you've been out the ring since 2019. So obviously it's been 3 years. You know, talk to us what's been going on with your career.
Yeah. What happened, like, how can I say it? Like, the two fights that I lost was during the time that I was homeless. I had to, you know, I was struggling to eat. And I made very bad decisions, right? And then after that, I haven't stopped training pretty much ever since I started at 12. But then after I got the comeback fight, there was like 7 fights that fell through.
Oh, wow.
And it was during a long period of time. And I had, for most of them, I had contracts. I had already done the medical
clearing and everything?
Yeah, everything. And okay. Then he would fall at the last moment.
Oh, shit. What
the fuck? Anuel.
So you said they would fall through at the last moment. 7 fights.
Yeah.
So are you not with a promoter, a manager, anything like that?
In that moment, I wasn't with the manager.
Okay.
So who you with now?
Miguel Diaz.
Okay. Shout out to Miguel. I like him.
Yeah, he's the best, man.
Mm-hmm.
Legend.
How'd you connect with him? Man, I really like that man. You're the second person he's given an opportunity to that, let's be real, record doesn't indicate you deserve an opportunity.
Yeah.
So, wow. I'm liking Miguel more and more.
Yeah, like, I met him at...
He helps Jalen Phillips.
Oh, he helps him? Well, I hadn't seen him.
And he's changed him. That boy looks good now in sparring. You seen his last sparring, Danny?
Huh? Nah, I don't think I did. I have seen him spar since his last fight, I think, in April. And he's looked good for sure at top rank.
Miguel's changed him. It's crazy because I thought Miguel was a manager, but he's like a trainer too.
Yeah, both.
Okay.
I have a trainer, but he can come inside of our preparation and of our sparrings and all that to mm-hmm. give advice, you know?
Ah, Miguel is shocking because he's pretty old too. I wonder who he's giving all that knowledge to. He's decent, man. I'm telling you, I've seen a huge improvement in Jalen. Telling you, somebody's going to get slept with Jalen. Why? They're going to think his record is what it is, and he's going to get them.
Yeah.
He's looking really good right now.
Oh, and after the fights fell through, then I made what I thought it was a good deal with a certain manager that promised me certain stuff that never materialized, so I even ended up wasting more time.
Mm. Now you're out of that situation.
Yes.
Did you get out of that alone, or Miguel also helped you out of that?
No, I got alone.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to ask, obviously, despite any record, despite the inactivity, you have had some great experiences here in Vegas. I know.
Hell yeah. I've seen him working all the time.
I know you were part of Floyd's camp once, correct?
Yeah, for the McGregor fight. It was crazy.
Talk to us about how that opportunity came about and just the whole experience.
Well, I came to Vegas straight to the Mayweather gym. Straight to the Mayweather gym. And
it's your chair. Oh. Put your right hand down. And grab that handle and stick it in because it's allowing it to rock. That's what it is.
Oh, no, that's not one of those. That's a different chair, remember?
It's okay. I'll say it different.
Okay.
So I came to the Mayweather gym, and the idea was getting signed with Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked people, like, so what's the deal? How can I make this happen? A lot of them, including Badu Jack, said, like, just spar in front of him. And if he likes you, done deal, you know?
Which is true.
And it took a long time for Mayweather to come to the gym. It was preparation every day, and I'm like, you know, like, when is this going to happen? And then one day came Gervonta Davis and Floyd, so just, like, the gym got filled up and stuff. I was trying to get a sparring. Nobody wanted to spar.
So you had the spar tank.
I was told by a friend of mine to go. To go ask Tank for sparring. So I was like hitting myself, you know. I had never sparred with a world champion until then, you know. And I went to the dressing room, and it was Floyd and Tank alone. And I asked Tank, you know, I gathered up my balls. And I asked Tank, like, can I spar with you? You know, Mayweather asked me a few questions, maybe like 4 questions. I don't remember all of them, but it was like, how old are you? What weight are you? And
maybe your record?
No, he asked me, like, if I was professional or something like that. And I answered everything real quick because with Mayweather, you can't waste words,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mayweather said, they looked at each other, and Mayweather said, okay, go get ready. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to spar with Tank. that's good. You know, I was looking forward to it. I was nervous, but it's part of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So I go prepare myself, get everything set for sparring, and Mayweather, instead of tank, Mayweather comes with all the sparring gear on. He gets in the ring, and he's like,
what?
Yeah.
Damn, that's amazing.
And
so you're thinking you're going to spar Tank, and Mayweather's like, nah, I'm going to give you that opportunity.
Yeah, and we did 5 rounds because Mayweather wasn't in full shape. He was at a time that the McGregor fight was just like
a thought.
Like a rumor.
Yeah.
A rumor,
yeah.
Okay.
So I sparred him. We finished. He liked how I worked. He got all my information, like the secretary or one of those girls.
Yeah, his assistant. Okay.
And after that, they started calling me 3 times a week.
Just sparring.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what happened, though? I mean, you auditioned in front of the man himself. Why no deal? Why nothing?
I asked him 3 different times. He said, yeah, don't worry, I got you. He said, it wasn't like within a few days. It was like during months, like
mm-hmm.
once we were deep into the camp. I don't know. He just kept saying yes. And
nothing
as
happened.
Soon as the fight materialized, like his fight, he vanished. And I never got any news.
Mm. So you didn't stay as a sparring partner for the McGregor fight?
No, what? I stayed the entire time. But after the
Oh,
fight
you mean
happened,
after the fight happened, he vanished?
Yeah.
Okay. So you didn't continue to go to the Mayweather gym?
Yeah. I waited for him for like 8 months.
Whoa! You kept going to the gym 8 months after the fight?
Yeah.
Shout out to you, bro. Fucking persistence. Bro, I'm still reaching out to people a year later. That don't respond. You got to. Shout out to you.
Thank you.
You waited. Man. You tried, man.
Well, I came here to box.
Absolutely. Yeah. So 8 months went by. You tell yourself, fuck it, I got to leave this gym. Where do you go now?
I went to, like, there's no problem if I say gym names.
No, we don't have a problem if you say gym names.
Okay. I went to City Athletic.
Oh, shit, I knew. Once you say, is there a problem, I knew it was there. What happened? So what happened over there with good old Harmon?
I don't want to get in detail with that.
Motherfucking Harmon, bro. Somebody got to do something. It was Harmon? He did something?
Maybe.
Motherfucker's terrible. That's crazy. Everybody got to say. I'm shocked. We the first people putting this shit on blast. I'm shocked that everyone talks about him and no one knows now. But motherfucker, we got you. He's terrible. He's terrible.
Nah, you know what?
He's bipolar. He kicks motherfuckers out, brings them back in, tells you he owns you, he's your boss, he's your manager.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Somebody better get his ass out of there before that gym end up closed.
But I...
No, and I seen what y'all did with that woman. I got the motherfucking video. I know what y'all doing over there. Get y'all shit together.
But, you know,
terrible.
Even though we ended up in very bad terms, I can tell you that he helped me a lot for the time.
Yeah, they say he's a nice guy whenever he's not bipolar. Because
today
he might be nice, tomorrow he goes crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's not right. It's not right. He should not be doing that. Fucking with people's life out here. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I hate
abuse.
Yeah, no, seriously. So then, okay, you get to City Athletic. How long were you there before you went to Bones, or where'd you go after?
From there, we went with my wife. We tried Barry's Boxing. And over there, there's no real opportunity. It's more like an amateur gym and stuff. You try to always look for hard sparring, you know? Like, while I was at City, I sparred with Jose Benavides, you know, David's brother.
Yeah.
I sparred with Lucas. And that's the type of sparring I need.
No, absolutely, yeah.
Being Costa Rican, why didn't you go to Salas?
I tried.
What happened? He didn't want you?
He didn't look at me.
Huh?
Yeah. As soon as I came here, like within 1 or 2 weeks, like as soon as I came to America, I had to get used to like the dry weather.
Mm-hmm.
And my throat would hurt a lot, like when I would breathe, when I would get agitated. But yeah, I tried.
So he's seen you during that period of your adjusting?
Yeah.
So you think he thinks you're not good enough right now?
He told me that I'm good.
Oh.
Yeah, he actually told me that, but then nothing happened.
Have you ever sparred his fighters?
Ugas
Well, yeah, Ugas. What's your weight?
147.
Okay, so you spar Mendoza too?
No, I haven't sparred him. Only Ugas. At least that I can remember. Well,
I saw you with pictures with Devin Haney. Now that you're at Bones, he's trained there a lot. Have you gotten any rounds in with Devin?
Fuck yeah.
He said fuck yeah.
Like I have done with Ugas, Benavides, Tank.
What? Jose, you mean?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Okay.
So, Ugas, Benavides, Tank, Mayweather, Sean Porter.
Wow.
Rancis Barthelemy, Devin Haney.
What you think of Rancis? Slow down. What you think of Rancis?
He's ready. Very smart.
Does he have the power? You think he has good power?
Yeah.
Because you know he's about to fight Gary Antoine Russell. You know Gary Antoine Russell?
Yeah, there's going to be a very rough fight for him.
For Rancis.
Very hard, yeah.
For Rancis.
But I want him to win.
He tagged me in some sparring. I wish I could go through the video and punch him my fucking self. He left Vegas to go spar that kid. You seen that kid he sparred?
Oh, he went to Miami.
Yeah. He left here to go down there to spar some fucking young. I don't know who that kid is. And that's the conversation I had. I said, why is you going to Miami? Who the fuck you going to spar in Miami? Like, I think people not telling these guys the truth. Like, what are you doing in Miami? Who the fuck is out there, really, as a 140-pounder?
I know his trainer lives there.
Bring his ass over here!
He has done that before, but I don't know. I have no idea why.
Me neither, bro.
I think he likes...
I wish him luck. That's going to be a tough-ass fight.
It's so funny.
I got to check. When did that fight come out?
That fight is on...
They postponed it.
To when?
What?
I don't know.
I thought it was on the Danny Garcia.
No, they just announced it.
I thought it was July 30th.
Okay,
there's
no line yet then.
I thought it was on the Danny Garcia, Jose Benavidez undercard. I thought. But it's funny you're wearing that shirt. Let me tell you why. Austin, let me the screen share. It's funny you're wearing that shirt. Obviously, that same shirt you're wearing in sparring with Devin Haney. Well, I'm assuming this was after sparring. You both have your gloves on, and the caption says work day. So when I asked you, you said, hell yeah, you know, talk to us about that sparring, because that's the smallest name you've mentioned. Excuse me. Every other fighter you mentioned was bigger fighters. So what are you doing sparring Devin, or how has that been?
Well, I was with a trainer that is part of his camp.
Who, Rodney?
Rodney.
Yeah. Okay.
He's great.
Yeah,
you know,
I like
Ronnie. It just didn't really work out between us. It's like, you know, like getting a girl. You can get the best looking girl that if you guys don't match, it's not really worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't match, but I don't have anything bad to say about him. You know, he's good. It just
didn't work out, and that's fine.
Yeah,
you know.
He got me the sparring, and, well, that shit was very hard. I don't think I guess he wasn't unified back then.
No.
But for me, he was already a big name.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, he was already a world champion.
Yeah.
Actually, this picture, he's definitely world champion.
Yeah. And if you see him, if you see a boxer coming to the gym in a Rolls Royce and shit like that, you can tell that the name has to be big enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Even if it's not his money and it's like his father's or something like that. You know, you're already in a position to have a Rolls Royce, and that shit is just crazy.
So how was that work? I want to know, you watching the fight, right? You're watching him fight George Kambosos. What did you think of him using that jab? Were you saying, like, damn, Kambosos needs to do X, Y, Z because you've been in there and, you know what to expect? Or were you just mesmerized with the fact that Devin was able to control the whole fight with the jab?
No, I told everybody around me, Devin Haney is going to win by decision.
Mm.
I know he's not going to knock him out because he doesn't punch hard, but he's fucking fast. His jab, there was some times that you don't even see it, like, starting. Your head just tilts back, you know? But I got him a good amount of times very hard, you know? And even though I didn't win the sparring, and I wanted to do it more, you know, when I get challenged like that, I fucking, I can't be completely reliable to come whenever you say, you know, until I fucking beat the shit out of you. And,
so you wanted some get back.
But there's no problem. You don't win every single sparring, you know.
It's, yeah. It's funny because him and I have had that argument. I don't look at it, or I haven't looked at sparring like, oh, I won sparring. And he's like, fuck no. Like, you either win or you lose a sparring.
Yeah.
And it's funny you said, like, yeah, even though I didn't win the sparring. So hearing you say that, you look at it the same way.
Bro, and fighters do too. I'm telling you, they might tell you, nah, we go in there to work on things. Yeah, your coach wants you to double jab and slip, but he don't want you to just double jab and slip the whole fight. You got to still win that fight.
But you
got to
see it as a pretty much it's a practice fight. So
yeah.
You got to see it from an actual fight angle.
Okay.
You know? And the way I...
What's your opinion on headgear? Very, very experienced coach tells me that headgear is only to protect you from cuts in preparation. It's not really to protect you from the force of the punch.
It does protect. Like, I have done a lot of sparring without headgear, and it does hurt a lot more.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't shake you more.
Yeah.
But you can feel, like, you know, like...
The leather.
The bones.
Oh, the bones.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's one of my favorite feelings, actually, when I hit somebody and I feel like the facial features.
The facial features, I love it. I love
Yo,
it.
Yo, Jimmy's going to put like a skull now.
All right. I love it. So how many times did you get to spar with Devin?
I don't know, one or two, but it wasn't...
Oh, okay.
A lot of rounds, though?
Maybe two. Six rounds. Mm. Like
each time? Six straight?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you got good stamina.
I have to, you know.
Well, I was going to say, I've seen Devin spar hundreds of rounds, and usually it's like they got three guys on rotation, so it'll be like you do four, three, and then they'll bring the first guy back in for the last three. So if you're doing six, you clearly doing good enough to
stay in there with
him.
For his father to keep you in there, because, you know, he would rotate you out. So, again, you're working with Miguel Diaz. Does he have something lined up for you now?
We're working on that. I'm just staying ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, like, I'm just staying in fight shape because I know something, like, a fight is happening very soon.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have that concrete date or anything. So I don't want to say, like, it's for sure because
absolutely,
happen,
absolutely.
You know? But it's going to be very soon.
So... Now that you're with Miguel, where do you train out of?
I give boxing classes at a different gym. So, like, usually the strength and conditioning, and like, when we practice technique, I do it at the gym that I train at, or at the gym that I work at.
Which is what? What gym is that?
It's Tribe.
Tribe?
Yeah.
Okay. So is it Tribe Boxing or is that...
No, they do like a little bit of everything.
Okay.
Like
there's a ring or no ring?
There's no ring.
So fitness gym.
Yeah, but we get it like when we go, it's usually us by ourselves. So like complete privacy and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We can practice everything.
And then he takes you to Top Rank for sparring.
Yeah. But I can do all the trainings Top Rank, you know. I just have it that way, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And I hear you're going there today.
Yeah.
Who are you supposed to spar with today?
Gabriel Flores.
Oh!
Okay.
I might have to... Damn, I need a fucking haircut. I might have to show up.
Don't forget we're scheduled Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wow. So for you...
Have you sparred with Flores before?
Oh, yeah.
He loads up a lot. I hope his father's watching.
He's very good. I can tell you that.
He is good, but he loads up. In sparring, anyway. He be... No?
Well, with me, I don't...
Really?
I don't think
okay,
so
maybe everybody's different.
Well, I move a lot. I have a very awkward style, I can tell you that. Like...
Southpaw Orthodox.
My last name means left.
Yeah, izquierdo. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that when I read it, I'm like, Okay. So obviously that's your last name, though. I couldn't just assume that you were left-handed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I saw
that's
it.
Just and, a, that's just a cool coincidence.
Yeah, no, I saw it. I saw it, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's really scary. That's really, you know, left-handed.
Mm-hmm. And, so when's the last time you've been back to Costa Rica?
I haven't been back.
What?
Yeah.
So 5 years?
Yeah.
So you came straight from Costa Rica here?
Yeah.
What's that story? How'd you get here?
Well, I came here with, like, certain purposes. I knew I had to do something very quick because I made a deal with my father. If something doesn't happen within a month, I just go back, go get in the university, and forget about...
Because he wanted you to go to school.
Yeah. He has always supported me. Like, I did 70 fights in amateur, 3 times national champion. I was in the Olympic team for a while.
Mm.
And he went to every fight of me. Of
what?
Mine, except the ones that were outside of the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like...
That's great.
The Olympic trials in Brazil. You know...
Wow, you have to go to Brazil.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Look at that smile.
Well,
how old are you now?
27.
Okay.
I was 17 when I went there.
Wow. Long time ago?
Yeah. First time I became national champion, I was like the youngest you can be.
Wow. That's an accomplishment. Definitely an accolade, man.
So out of those amateur fights, what was your amateur record?
I lost 10.
Okay. So about 60-10?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Number. Well, who? Somebody has a big gym out there in Costa Rica. Who is it, Ness? It's a female fighter.
Oh,
no. Hannah Gabriel. And Brian Valoria, right? He's married to her. Vasquez. Yeah, he's married to her.
Yeah.
They got a gym together out there.
I used to spar with him, too.
What? He's so small.
But I wasn't big, you know.
Listen, work is work. He was a world champ.
But, I was like 18.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. So he probably wasn't 47.
Yeah.
How much were you weighing around that time?
I would fight still at 47, but
okay.
I would walk around like a 150.
Right, because obviously you got to weigh in and whatnot.
And he would be walking around even heavier than me, you know.
So even back home, you were getting some, you know, some good sparring and whatnot. Obviously not the same. Not the same as
within 3 weeks,
Vegas.
I sparred with Mayweather as soon as I came here. He technically, Brian Vasquez was the first one that I sparred that was a world champion, but he was just interim, you know, so I don't really count it.
Okay.
So my first ever
full world champion was
Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather. So wait, did you ever spar Gervonta?
Yeah.
So what was that like when you eventually did spar him? Because I know obviously when you sparred Floyd, that was you were under the impression you were going to spar Tank. So when you finally did spar Tank, what was that like?
Well, they called me several times to spar with him.
Mm. Okay.
They also paid very good. Like, I had no complaints about them. It was like...
You're lucky that they paid you.
So did you have him for camp or like were you in a camp with him or?
I was focused on Mayweather. I was on the Mayweather camp. Like he would take me for all the press conference tour. He took me to LA, then to New York, and we ended up going to Miami a little bit later. But
damn, you was living that life.
It was fucking great.
What was that like? I mean, if you're coming from Costa Rica, hold on. You're coming from Costa Rica. Your dad tells you you got 1 month to make shit happen. And 3 weeks later, you're sparring Floyd. Now you're
that's the definition of making it happen.
Now you're flying all over the country, you know, to these press conferences and stuff. Like, what was that like for you?
Like pretty much you just will never expect something like that to happen in your life. For me, Mayweather was a god, you know. In those times, Mayweather was like, you just see him on TV and you cannot even begin to imagine how crazy would it be to be in the ring. And the first time I ever sparred him, I remember having the thoughts, like when I could see his eyes looking at me, I'm like, so this is what Pacquiao felt. You know?
I love it, man.
It's just incredible. It's even hard to believe for me.
I mean, it's honestly historic to say that I helped Floyd prepare himself for his last professional fight.
And also the try to profile and turn some money?
No, absolutely, absolutely.
In history.
No,
yeah.
Actually, no, I'm pretty sure Pacquiao is still number one, but that's second, right? Mayweather McGregor did second?
No.
What, you mean?
Mayweather took a little bit more than $100 million for Pacquiao, and Mayweather took more than $300 million for McGregor.
No, I'm talking about as in terms of
pay-per-view sales
and stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was more.
No, Pacquiao was more. Pacquiao was more than Mayweather McGregor. Not by, like, I want to say maybe by, like, $800,000. I think Mayweather Pacquiao did 4.8, and Mayweather McGregor did 4.2 million, which that's still second highest ever, you know. But obviously, in terms of the purchases you are, you know, that you speak of, that's
a whole different
that's a different ball game. But man, that's crazy. 3 weeks later to be sparring with Floyd.
When I called my father,
once
I was done, I'm like, well, I did this. He said, like, do you expect me to believe that shit? Like, take pictures or something. I'm like, no. If I would even take my phone out, the bodyguards would just fucking kill me. There was one time when we were in a hotel in Miami that I was just talking, like, in video call with my father, but I was holding it like this, and I was just roaming, walking around. And out of nowhere, I turned, and Mayweather is right in front of me, and I have pretty much the phone pointed at him. Even though the camera was facing me, when shit like that happens, the security go crazy.
Mm.
But Mayweather recognized me. He got really annoyed, but he didn't say anything, and nobody beat the shit out of me. You know? But it was I freaked out.
Yeah, hilarious.
Now, you know, it's funny. It's funny because I got to go out with one of his fighters, and I was with the fighter, but, you know, they're like, oh, we're going here. And that was, like, our second or third place we were going to. And Floyd was there. And I'm on my phone, and I could tell, like, the security, like, looking at me. But they saw, like, one of them looked, and they saw that they looked at my phone, and they saw that I wasn't, like, doing anything. I was just texting somebody back. So they was cool. But I was like, you know, I just try to be mindful because, you know, these people – they live lives where they got to watch everything they do because eyes are always on them. And I feel that they don't get to live somewhat of a normal life. So I understand where fighters come from because now being in the industry and being around fighters, I get it. Like, sometimes you want to go out to eat with your family and nobody fuck with you. Like,
you can't even walk in the park.
You can't do anything. Like, where can Floyd go? Like, where can Floyd go by himself that nobody will bother him?
Nowhere.
Like, Dubai or Qatar, something like that.
Or
where people
all you got to do is stand next to AJ, and no one was bothering him.
Anthony Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I met him after. It was during sparring with Mayweather. I remember getting in clinch, and I looked like around the gym, and Anthony Joshua was right in the corner. I'm like, fuck.
Yo, and that's when he was still heavyweight champ.
That was immediately after he won against Klitschko.
Mm.
So it was like he was beginning.
He was blowing up. Of course. So
blowing up like you thought I would.
What's that? You're in a clinch with Floyd Mayweather, right? So you guys are hugging at this. It's not hugging, but you're literally in a clinch with Floyd, and then you see the unified heavyweight champion of the world, Anthony Joshua, in the corner. Like, how do you process that and still?
You don't process it. You're living in
cloud nine.
Did it make you perform better?
Yeah.
I got to ask, though, when you finally, because obviously, you know, I don't know that I did, but you have several pictures with Floyd. You did an entire camp with him. So there was that time when you were able to show your father, I'm not lying, this is truly what I'm doing. When you were able to prove to him that you were actually in camp with Floyd, what was that like? And, like, what was his reaction, you know, because he gave you an ultimatum. So what was his reaction to it?
You can keep doing your own stuff. You know, like he didn't have a choice but to believe me at that point. You know, it was several pictures already.
Justin. No, yes, I just wanted to show this picture. One of the pictures of you and Floyd, obviously, in the gym. This is somewhere else.
In Miami.
Oh, this is in Miami.
Yeah.
Living. Damn, so you did the bike ride with him?
Yeah.
Damn,
We were going to go to...
You got to do everything.
He was going to take me to Canada and New York because there were two press conferences there.
Yeah, Canada and the UK, there was press conferences.
That's crazy.
Yeah, in London.
I would have been, at the same time, that shit would have drove me crazy to be hanging with Floyd all that time, to be expecting a deal, and then all of a sudden he just disappears?
No, I mean...
Was it depressing?
Well, it got me sad for a while, but...
No dark places, though.
Well, yeah.
Really?
We live in the dark.
Yeah.
You know? We just get used to it.
We're molded by it.
Yeah.
What is it?
What would you say was the biggest takeaway for you from that Floyd, sparring? Like, what were you able to learn the most from? Or, you know, what is something that you able to use to this day? What was your biggest takeaway from?
The biggest thing that he added on my own, on my own way of fighting, was confidence. Because you know that there is nothing, no fighter is going to be better than him. And I already did a good job with the best of the best, you know. Even though it's very relative, people say Pacquiao was better in certain aspects, you know. But in that point, he has just won against Pacquiao.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the capability of saying, like, okay, pretty much anybody that I'm going to aspire or fight for the rest of my life are not going to be as hard as him. You will have to miss like 5 punches to even land one. And I'm fast, you know, like Mayweather told me, you're faster than McGregor, but you're not faster than me. Like, and I would still.
Did you bet?
No.
Why? I know you had to have heard, like, throughout the gym that he was going to stop him on a certain round.
I knew. No, but I didn't have to hear it. I could see what he was doing in sparring, and I could see what he
But you didn't know the round, though.
I don't know.
Because, you know, he bet on
Because there was rumors that he was betting on himself.
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't know? You didn't? Why not fucking put some... Nothing?
Well, they are very quiet in that gym. You don't see them talking about business or anything like that. They're always talking just like very superficial type of stuff, very materialistic.
Mm.
But that's how they are, you know, especially because everybody sees Mayweather as a bank if you work with him.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
If he wouldn't have money, he wouldn't have friends. Because he has nothing to contribute as a person, only money. That's what I mean.
Why do you think he has nothing to contribute as a person?
Because of what I, like, not because of what he did to me, but because of hanging out around them and around the whole social circle there, I could tell that if people that, like, they won't even motivate you or anything, they're just there to suck Mayweather's dick. But no,
if, tell it how it is, champ. Tell it how it is.
In my country, you say it like that.
No, listen, in America too. You know what I'm saying? When there's a dick rider, there's a dick rider. Listen, I think that's pretty much it, though. You have any more?
No, that's it for me, champ.
If you want to give out any social media, please do so. I want to thank you for coming on, man. You have been great.
Thank you, man.
We look forward to getting you back on as soon as you and Miguel figure it out when you get a new fight.
Yeah.
Let Bo know and we'll get you back on the schedule.
Of course. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. My Instagram. The thing is that even though I should say like my whole name, you know, my name is Arturo Izquierdo, put it as a tag on my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
For Americans, it's very hard to write my last name, you know, because the Q-U-I. That is not pronounced is Cuyerdo or something like that. So my tag in Instagram is just Artuizq, ArtuIzq.
So that's
Let me get a screen share.
A-R-C-U-I-Z-Q.
Screen share. There you go. So this is it right here. If you want to find him. Damn. So that means you sparred Keith.
Oh, yeah. A lot of times. Well, I was training Bones.
Yeah, I know.
He's a very close friend of mine. We have met for a long, I met him a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to go ahead and take this quick intermission, take a picture, and we'll be right back.
Thank you. Darkness is your ally. You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Because when he has been in the bright lights and enjoying his time, having fun, and lapping up, no problem. You're the big celebrity. You're in the bright lights. I've been in the dark, in the trenches, in the gym.
TheBoxingBoys.com.
And the news! IBO, WBO, WBA, WBC franchise, Red Ring Magazine.
Hey, boss, when does camp start? Camp started as soon as I met Steve from my life. As soon as I batted him, took all his belts, camp started the next day.
Ah, what a right hand from Gurt Campbell, and the takeover went down!
He's a good villain, though.
He's a good villain.
Could have fought anybody. Lomachenko, Devin Haney. Unfortunately, Lomachenko is not available. Beautiful. Devin Haney, step up. That will take your belt.
Promotion.
But he says, finish his fight as a king. What's a king to an emperor?
You are now locked into the Boxing Voice live from Las Vegas with Nesta Gibbs and Ringwalk Danny.
Let's start with this. I'm a creative genius.
SCS.
And now, the most dangerous producer on YouTube.
Brandon in Houston.
You're now locked into the king of all boxing podcasts, The Boxing Voice. Jab that like button.
TheBoxingBoys.com.
What is it? They don't like Charlotte. We like Charlotte.
The unified WBA, WBC, and IBF 154-pound champion of the world.
I'm happy. I'm angry. I'm passionate.
The WBC middleweight champion of the world.
No, I think you're a great fighter. And
I know that. I know that already.
They say, oh, the Charlotte, they talk about, because they don't want to fight us. Fighters. Come on.
Like I said, I went to the top already. I seen the bottom before. At the top, I seen the bottom. I went back down to the bottom and shot back the fuck back up. Now what they mad at me for?
It's not like old school boxing. For the best, like the best no more. It's about politics. It's about who you know, who you are, who, if you got a crowd behind you.
Get your ass in your way to business. Let's see if you can be one of them. Because fucking with me, you gonna get knocked the fuck out. I'm a knockout on it, baby.
If we stand by lines only, just like we made this up, we're going to ride with it. We're going to ride with it to the day we die.
Jermell. Jamal. Charlo.
SDS Promotions.
Shut the fuck up, little prick.
Yeah?
Yeah, prick. Come on, get him out of here.
Yeah, you're getting out of here.
Yeah, move him out of here.
SDS Promotions.
Fury's the name, and fucking fighting's the game. His heart's rattling now. His walls have sunk up inside of him. There's a man here that's going to annihilate your daughter.
TheBoxingBoys.com.
The heavyweight champion of the world. The greatest fighter that's ever lived. Ever laced a pair of boxing gloves on.
That's the Tyson Fury laugh.
What up, ladies and gentlemen?
Water.
We are back. We are back, and we are back to discuss Canelo versus Golovkin 3, generating three times the revenue of Spence versus Crawford.
Crazy.
Says Eddie Hearn.
Crazy. Did he, like, say that on video? Because I think maybe a writer might have misquoted him.
I don't think so.
No.
People don't misquote Eddie. His quotes cause hysteria.
But we are going
to
open
up. Do you
want
to add a third option to the poll? Yes, no, maybe so.
What's the question?
Canelo versus Golovkin generates 3 times the revenue of Spence versus Crawford.
Come on, Ness. You know Eddie just promoting. Or Eddie's just doing his job, you know? Something like that. Something like that. But we will be opening up the phone lines momentarily. You guys know, and if you don't know, the number to call in is 425-569-5241. You do have to press 1 time. You guys can also call in via Discord. Somebody will put the link in the chat if you don't have it already.
So no third option?
Yeah, I said, come on, Ness. Eddie is just promoting.
But that's the same as no.
Well, then replace no with that. No just sound whack.
Boom. Only 2 options.
Bow.
And the number to call in, you gave him that?
425-569-5241. Press 1 time.
1 time.
Voice your opinion.
Voice that opinion. Right here, voice of the people hotline. We're going to go out
to
the phone lines in just a minute.
That shit whack. I just tried to press it. I just pressed an option, and it clicked the other option.
Mm. But you're not supposed to be betting.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
You're not supposed to be voting, fam.
Subscribe to youtube.com/theboxingvoice for the latest and greatest interviews with your favorite fighters.
Big Gucci Nick on Discord. What up?
Any of you radio personalities think you want smoke? Call me Mr. Chimney. I want smoke.
What up?
I want all the smoke. You already know. Yo, everybody smash that thumbs up, man, and smash that subscribe button. Pound for pound, the best boxing podcast out there. Shout out Ringwalk Danny, Ness, the producer. Man, y'all doing a phenomenal job. That was an amazing interview, man. That guy's sparring resume is incredible. I can't believe the names he sparred. That's pretty cool. What were you saying about the main topic today, Matt?
Yes, Eddie Hearn saying that Canelo versus Golovkin 3 will be 3 times bigger than Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford.
Oh, shit, dude. I don't know about that.
Mm.
I think that's the biggest fight to make in boxing is Spence versus Bud right there. And I got Spence winning, by the way. But, man, yeah, I don't know. Actually, that's a really hard debate right there. Those are 2 big names, Canelo and Golovkin. But yeah, man, that's my call. Great show, guys. Keep up the good work.
All right. Who is next on Discord? Or
we only got people on Blog Talk.
All right, let's go to Blog Talk. And who do we have here?
Who we got?
This is Ra.
Hello.
This is Ra. It is Ra.
No, this MMA.
What's your name, champ?
What's going on? MMA. You hear me?
MMA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
A few times, but listen, I want to say this right now. Like, I know a lot of people are not going to agree with, Eddie Hearn. You know, he does lie a lot, but I agree with him. I think he's telling the truth this time. At the end of the day, Spence and Crawford are not pay-per-view stars. Let's keep this a buck, right? Look at Crawford. Every time they put him on pay-per-view, top rank, put him in pay-per-view, he shit the bed, right? He couldn't even crack 200,000, right? And now let's look at Spence, ladies' pay-per-view. Now, no emotions, just facts. 240K pay-per-view, his last pay-per-view, versus Ugas, who's just come off Manny Pacquiao win, right? And it was for 3 belts. So, I mean, these guys aren't the biggest pay-per-view stars. Now, yes, GG might not be in his prime, but at the end of the day, he's still a big attraction like, sold out the Garden multiple times. I mean, Canelo, you fought Caleb Plant. Nobody really knew Caleb Plant.
Yo, but so, right? So Golovkin's a pay-per-view star?
Because
last time I checked, he only did $170,000 against Danny Jacobs, which is less than what Earl did against Ugas.
I'm not saying he's a pay-per-view star, but he's a big attraction. You know that he has a lot of fans, right?
But
you know,
but I'm saying that would show in his pay-per-view sales, though, if that was the case.
True.
If that was the case, that would have shown. And if that was the case, he would have been on pay-per-view other than that. Like, that was his sole pay-per-view. The other ones was Canelo. Like,
never went to pay-per-view without Canelo.
No,
too.
No.
No, I know before, but I'm saying
after Canelo, he's never gone back to pay-per-view. And before Canelo,
Danny,
he fought.
Danny.
Uh-huh.
Then listen, if you look at this, right, at the end of the day, we know if Canelo fought a random bum that night, it wouldn't have done as much pay-per-view buy. So give GG his props, too. He was also a part of the pay-per-view. It takes two to tango, right? Not just one person. So, listen, my whole thing with the Spencer Crawford thing is they're not big attractions. That's what I'm saying, right? Crawford didn't crack 200,000, so let's keep it a buck. I think it won't do 1 million, but I think it'll do close to that, and I just think it'll be bigger than Spencer Crawford. It's still a big fight for boxing, but it's not. You know, nobody really knows them other than fans, like us hardcore fans.
Yeah, I don't really agree, bro. To me, Canelo Triple G the first time do 1.3. They do it a year later to the weekend. They do 200,000 less, right? A year later. Hear me. But they did 200,000 less, and when in the first fight, a lot of people thought Golovkin won, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they do 200,000 less. Okay, cool. Now, it's been 4 fucking years since the last time they fought each other. 5 years since the first fight. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't see where that does 3 times the amount that Earl versus Bud does.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Because just like he said, Canelo wouldn't have done those numbers with somebody else because it takes 2 to tango. I think it's the same shit with Earl and Bud. It's like, that's the fight that people have been wanting. Like, Canelo has done over 1 million with both Triple G fights. I think that the Spence versus Crawford fight is a fight for both men that is going to get those numbers that we haven't seen, right? Because Canelo Khan ain't doing no 1 million shit. So, yes, he is correct to the extent it does take 2 to tango, and obviously Golovkin contributed. But what I'm saying is when he's done it by himself, he's done less than. And since, he hasn't done it at all. So, for me, it's if you that big and you have that big of a fan base, why aren't you fighting on pay-per-view? Why aren't you fighting on bigger stages? You get what I'm saying? Like, that's just my opinion.
Bush Doctor, talk to us.
Yo, you hear me?
We hear you.
What up, what up, what up? Yo, I just want to give you guys a big, 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 big shout-out, big props for today, because just on the strength of, man, this is why y'all, like, the culture and the boxing community loves you guys, man, because you're doing this shit for the little guy. Like you're not dick riding no promoters or no companies with these guests, man. Like this is the viewer or the listeners want to connect emotionally with shit, and like, you just hit it on point, man. So big salute to you guys. And to connect with those first two guests, man. I'm in NorCal. I'm no cap. I really am on the ganja farm. I'm in the fucking woods. It basically is Oregon, so I would have to travel to the Bay, travel to Sacramento, whatever, to go to amateur fights. That's like a 5-6 hour drive for me. So I can totally connect with those two up in Oregon, man. They need to – and salute if they get some boxing to University of Oregon, that's huge, man. I got kids now, and when my kids are in the college age or whatever, I would love for that to be a real program. But basically you got to get out of Oregon to you got to move to Vegas. You got to move to SoCal or something. But shout out to you guys putting them boys on the show and giving them the shine, man, because that's what they need. So salute.
All right, brother. Well, thank you, man, for the kind words, man. We just love doing what we do, and we're glad that you guys appreciate it and continue to use us for your morning commutes, your exercises, your walks, all that greatness. What you got for us?
We got Jay Gutter on Discord.
Gutter?
Hello, you got on mute.
Gutter? If you're... Yes, sir.
Oh, fuck, I can't hear.
We hear you.
So, you said Canelo and Triple G gonna do better than Earl?
Eddie Hearn, Matchroom CEO.
Says it generates three times the revenue of Spence Crawford.
Canelo makes more, he says, three times more money.
Or the money, he says the fight brings in three times more money than Spence versus Crawford.
But he's the right, revenue, so it's overall.
No? PBC is saying that for Earl and Bud. Eddie's that mouthpiece, and the way Canelo moving, he might just choke Triple G out at one of these face-offs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see Bud doing that shit. So it might, because the casuals like that shit. And I don't think Bud's going to do that. And then we don't have no Eddie Hearn and no PBC saying that Bud and Spence is going to do better than Canelo and Triple G.
Whoa.
So, yeah, I think it might, but Earl's been getting better on the mic. He might piss Crawford off. I hope something like that happens.
I'm with you.
And maybe they might use Mayweather as the promotion. I hope that happens.
I'm with
that,
too.
Yeah. So,
all
yeah,
right.
It,
well,
it
thank
might.
You for calling in, champ. Those are some good suggestions. You know, it's not like we haven't talked about Mayweather wanting to link up with Crawford and promote him, and also going as far as saying that, you know, he could help get him this fight. But we got the great one. What up?
What's his name, Danny?
Omar.
Oh, Omar.
Yo, what's going on, Ness? What's going on, Danny?
I'm fucking with you. What's up,
nah,
bro?
Nah, don't do that to me, Danny, man. You've been doing so well these last couple weeks.
I'm fucking with you, bro. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, bro. I hope you're well. But, look, for me, I saw Eddie's interview with Michelle, and there he said that when he first said the fight was 10 times bigger, obviously he was just exaggerating because he's a promoter and that's what he does. But he said he believes it's actually 5 times bigger. But for me, I mean, I'd probably say it's around maybe 2 times bigger. And the only reason why I say that is Canelo's only fighting twice this year. So the hype is going to be big for what's going to be his last fight of the year.
Not just that, but this is the first time that he has fought on Mexican independence.
In a long time.
Since Golovkin 2.
Mm.
He has not fought on Mexican Independence Day weekend since Golovkin 2.
Oh, so see, that's what I'm saying.
So it's a homecoming.
Are going to come out for
it's just that traditional Mexican Independence Day weekend, Danny's birthday weekend. You know, Floyd had the dates, Oscar had the dates, Canelo once had the dates. He just hasn't used them for years. Been 4 years.
Yeah, but listen, and you know, you got to understand, like, it's the casuals really that are going to bring in, you know, the big revenue. And when it comes to Canelo fighting Triple G, I think, you know, in the same way you ain't been to the gym in a while, but when you go back, you might have that muscle memory. The same way people's, like, boxing muscle memory is going to kick in, especially with casuals, when they see Canelo's fighting Triple G, because they're going to remember the controversy. And, you know, with the way the fights are promoted these days, people, you know, Triple G's age is not going to be remembered. But, listen, I'd love Spence and Crawford to blow Canelo Triple G out the water, but I can't see it, man. Someone else said that, you know, Spencer's done consistent great pay-per-view numbers. Crawford's not done, you know, he's been up. He's not done as well as he should have done. But, yeah, I mean, that's my poll.
All righty, then.
Appreciate it, Omar.
Who we got, Mr. Austin? CYP.
What up, what up?
What up?
Yeah, man, let me get to it. Cut to it. Chase. Now, I do believe that, yes, Triple G, Canelo may do a bigger revenue. I do believe that. But we have to acknowledge the fact that it's not because of Triple G. It's because of Canelo. Triple G is not a bigger star than Earl, but he is a bigger star than Bud. Let's just be real here. Some people in the chat were debating that. I don't know why you would even try that. Triple G's fights versus Derevyanchenko, people saw Charlo fight Derevyanchenko than Triple G. People didn't really watch Raiola. Let's just be real. Triple G is not a star like that anymore, as in socially, but he is still a boxing star. Big difference. Canelo is the guy. Let's cut the bullshit. They're going to do more revenue simply because Canelo carries a fan base that just likes to see him fight, so it's an event to them. But boxing fans who like boxing, they are going to put their money first on that Crawford fight. They are not going to miss that Crawford fight. I can promise you that 300,000+ of the real hardcore boxing fans, that's what I based it off of, 300,000 of us are real hardcore boxing fans. Those, they will do over 300,000 because all hardcores will want to see Crawford versus Spence. And lastly, people keep saying the 40-year-old shit is not going to matter. I'll be around on all the forums because, you know me, I like to nitpick and find out people's temperature. Everywhere I go, the first thing they talk about is 40 years old. Everybody says, yeah, he's 40 now. He's 40, but he's 40, but he's 40. Everybody says that. Even some Mexicans are saying, well, Triple G's 40. So all y'all think that don't matter, do what I do. Go check around and see if they don't mention that shit. Well, yeah.
All righty then. It looks like we got Mr. Long Beach himself. Long Beach in the house.
Yeah. You got me, Ness?
What up?
Yeah, good morning. Shit, Danny, what up? Tanner, what up? Bo, what up? Look, the 40-year-old thing, man, that's an interesting topic. I just turned 40. Ness, you're over 40. We're OGs, right? And what an OG always thinks is, do I still got one left in the tank for these young bucks? I still got the clip loaded, but we never quite sure if we can whoop that 30-year-old, but we think we can. There's no doubt in our mind we can, but we're 40, and everything science has told us is that we can't fuck no more. We can't do shit right no more. You know what I mean? That's everything science has told us. So Triple G is doing this for all the old heads, man, and I'm definitely going for him. You know, and I want to see, is this 40 the fall off the cliff? As far as the numbers go, look, of course you would assume that Canelo Triple G would do the bigger numbers. You add something into the pot, like the thought of the Caleb Plant fight doing 800,000. You simply just replace Plant. You put Triple G there. You say a million. Easy, right?
No.
No?
I wouldn't say so. You know, only because, like I said, bro, they did 1.1 in the rematch. So, and that was 4 years ago. So it's like they lost 200,000 from the first one. Cool. You know, rematches are never expected to do more than the first time. Okay. But if you lost 200,000 on the first one and that was only a year apart, how much is you going to lose on the third one? And it's been 4 fucking years. Like, it ain't like we just been seeing Triple G kill some shit. It ain't like we've been seeing him just fight some dogs and do his, Mexican style. And nah, he, you know, that ain't been the case. So for me, it's just like, I think it is a, I think at best it'll do what, I think it does about 800, you know, Plant versus Canelo. I think that Eddie's saying three times, like I said, to me, Earl.
That's an exaggeration.
Yeah, Earl, Bud, I do believe it'll generate more, but not even maybe twice as much, definitely not no 3, 4, 5 times as much.
let me get to the promotion for y'all cut me. Look, Triple G Canelo, for them to get over the hump, that million mark, it needs to be sold as Triple G's almost farewell fight. Because let's be honest, what the fuck boxing going to do with a Triple G win here? Boxing needs someone to rely
on. It'd be one for the old guys. What you mean?
I mean, but how long? I just don't feel his legs with Triple G. Also, you got Canelo's redemption. Canelo's doing a great thing in the early press conferences, coming out here mad, acting like he got something to prove, you know, so that's good energy. But for Bud and Spence, this is really important. Of
cut
course,
it.
They're going to
cut it.
Come on.
Cut it.
Yeah, you should have gave him some time, champ. That was nice.
Only time y'all see me in rage is when I turn into the Bronze Mama.
I want a body. I want a body, and he's going to be the body.
The ambulance better be ready. The medical better be ready. The referee better be ready. They better have that towel to be able to hold it.
SDS promotion.
That'll be right.
LV Slugger.
LV. Did you unmute him? LV. One time, two times. Ness, another thing I want to point out when we talk about these pay-per-view numbers, and granted, revenue is not only coming from pay-per-view, but just want to remind everybody that the first two Canelo-Golovkin pay-per-views were on HBO. This one is on an app, you know, so it is a little different. Just something to consider, I guess that's all.
So I hope you wasn't lying when you said Bones wanted to schedule his daughter.
No, he told me that.
Okay, so I just texted him.
Yeah, he told me that.
Because we don't have an untitled guest.
Well, I mean, we have Sertain.
Okay.
No, but it wouldn't be for today. She lives in California, but...
Oh, okay.
But
he's going to be around like a little after 5 because he's in Studio B till
right.
5.
Okay.
But,
yep.
So you confirmed that.
I'm just waiting good. I'm waiting on it, but when I last talked to him, he was good. He just told me to remind him this morning, so I already did.
All right, beautiful. Beautiful. Who we got next?
Next...
We have LV Slugger back. We can go back to him.
LV.
TBV.
What up?
I hear him.
Yes, sir.
What up? Yeah, man. I think Eddie just doing his job, you know. Triple G, we seen this.
You using a Bluetooth,
you know,
man?
We seen him fight. Nah.
Okay.
How it sound?
We going to make the best of it. Yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, man, we seen this show before, you know what I'm saying? And they in the ring, they do give us a good performance, you know, they've been in there before, both like that. Like I said, we seen, you know what I'm saying? Even before they got in the ring with each other, they both had questionable wins, you know, with, you know, Canelo with the Lara and, you know, Triple G with Danny J. Some people even say Danny may have won, you know what I'm saying? But with
you need to stop hanging around those
you know,
people.
They have no questionable. Yeah, man. Yeah, they ain't no questionable wins on their resume. You know, they won both all they wins coming in convincing factor. So other than getting in the ring with each other, I mean, I feel like no other way to go. So I feel like, man, this is the biggest fight in boxing, man. And, I think it's going to bring big numbers. I mean, this is the type of fight that's going to bring the casuals in. It's going to put a lot more eyes in boxing. So, I'm not sure
how
no
do you
number,
I can't do it. Please hang
more,
up on him.
Bring them on.
My man sounds like fucking Optimus Prime, bro. What is wrong with y'all? Get your shit together with the service, please. Roll Tide, what up?
Yo, TBV, you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, Greenwald Ness, what's good?
What's good?
TBV, smash the like button. It's free. Do something. It's the age-old issue, man, with fighting and boxing and promotion and marketing, and you find out that the casual fight is Triple G and Canelo. Triple G don't have the momentum. Canelo don't have the momentum. But for some reason, they're still going to do better than the most anticipated fight for the last 2 years in Errol and Spence. And that's just the casual.
Errol and Spence, the same person, but we get you.
I mean, yeah, Errol and Bud. It's just the casuals, just, you know, they're going to overpower it. The Latino market is going to overpower it. We all know Triple G might get stopped this time go around. He might get stopped. He's almost 40, you know, so he can be old overnight, especially against a peak Canelo. Now, Canelo is at his peak performance right now, so he might stop Triple G. And you need to stay at 168, you know, clean up 168 after this win. Stay away from Bilbo. It might do 500,000, like Dana mentioned. It's on the app, so you got to take that into consideration. It's not on HBO.
No. And, I was saying I expect Crawford Spence to do five at least, and I was saying that I expect Canelo and Triple G to do similar numbers to what he did against Caleb.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
yes, that's right.
Bro, it's just for me, I just know, like, my family, yo, some of these people don't even know when Canelo's fighting. They just assume he's fighting on Mexican holidays, but they don't even know because the shit is on the app.
Exactly. So, yeah, man, we're going to see Canelo finish this trilogy, get it out of the way, hurry up, and stay at 168. That's what we need to be lobbying for, man. Stay at 168, clean up David Benavidez, get Andrade. You know, the zone strategically kept Triple G out of risk. And he still lost to Derevchenko. But, hey, glad to see a plan come together.
Cut it.
Come on.
Info Joe is a beast. Checkbox red. Undefeated punchlines, better place your bet. The number one card, fought my way up the ranks. Border Wars fighter, going hard in the tank. Boxing scene writers call me spectacular. My boxing bars are marvelous like Hagler. Worldwide, peace to all my boxing brothers. We rock the voice, forget all the others.
Yo.
Caller of the year.
We got Boomerang. Ring is in pound for pounds in here. Shout out to Amin. What up, Ness? What up, Danny? We in here. Good morning, Chance.
What's up?
Hey, man. What's up? Hey, man, shout out to Omar, man. You becoming one of my favorite callers, brother. But I disagree with you on this and most of y'all. I see Crawford and Spence, man, doing at least one time. I think it do more numbers than Canelo Triple G. We've seen that already. If you were to go on YouTube, I bet you would see more videos on Crawford and Spence than any other video. We've been talking about this for the last 4 years. It's going to be a civil war in America when this fight happens. The boxing community is going to be divided. Only if these two sell the fight, man, and which I think they are because they don't like each other, it's going to be some big shit talking, and I think it's going to do better numbers, man. Shout out to the boxing gods. This is this generation's Hagler and Sugar Ray fight, man. Hands down, man. It's the biggest fight in boxing, and I do see it doing bigger numbers than any match that you can come up or think of at this time, man. It's been building up. It's been boiling over, and it's gonna be major. I can see the whole world from the UK to Africa to America watching this fight right here, man. It's gonna be major, man. Y'all gonna mark my words, man. Y'all gonna come back and say Info Joe had the info and he was right on point. That's all I got, gentlemen. But they gotta sell the fight though, man. They gotta come out of their shell, especially Crawford. You got to talk that shit, and which I think is going to happen because them dudes don't naturally just don't like each other. The fight has been built up, man. We're here. We're just waiting for this contract to be signed, man. That's all I got, gentlemen. Everybody have a blessed, no-stress day. Peace.
Appreciate it. Hold on, Ness. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whoever said that Canelo – I can't even find the comments. Let's just move on. I'm going to find this shit, though. Hold on. Just move on, chat. I'm going to find this shit. But I don't agree with Joe. I don't think it does more than Canelo. But who we got next?
We got a Hawk.
In Maryland.
What time is it?
Hawk in Maryland.
Tell me. I'm not the old man.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
Great show. Yes. Dan and Brandon, I'm out.
Yo.
What up?
DBB, what's up? Yo, Ness, and what's up, Ringwalk?
What's good?
What's good?
Ain't too much, man. Only thing that always kill me, bro, is when you got to wait to put your call in. Info Joe called in and spit the goddamn same words I was about to tell y'all as soon as I called in. I'm an old dude, so that's the way I'm looking at it. I remember when Sugar Ray Leonard finally signed the fight Haggard. There wasn't no internet and all that. That word, boom, went across the world so fast, man. I'm telling you, Crawford Spence, when they sign, it's going to be bigger. They're going to sell more. It's going to be sold in more countries. I'm telling you, bro, Crawford and Spence both had their biggest wins coming out of the UK. Crawford got his championship first out there in the UK, took that title from that boy out there. And Spence went out there and did it. So the UK gonna be, but all of the sports. Spence is so tied into football and sports, and Crawford is tied into sports. All of the sports are gonna be, the sports stars are gonna be selling each other. As soon as the contract is signed, I'm telling you, they're gonna outsell them two guys, man. I think Crawford and Spence is gonna outsell them, man. Triple G and Canelo are coming. It's like Pacquiao and who that guy he fought four times and then he finally knocked Pacquiao out. I mean, that was big because that was big because it's the rival of it and everything. There's something like this one, but Triple G don't have a base like that. Triple G don't have a real fan base like that. It's going to be mostly Canelo pulling that fight. This fight is going to be two of the best, considered the best. This means when people are just sitting at their dinner table telling their wife and kids about it, they're going to be like, oh, we finally going to see the best fighters in the world fight each other. I really believe it's going to be bigger than the Canelo Triple G fight because of the questions about age and then Canelo just having that loss that, you know, I think it's going to be bigger. That's just my opinion. Shout out Info Joe.
Shout out to you, champ. Yeah, I don't know about bigger, man. I think that would really say a lot. You know, Canelo's star power is one of the biggest in the sport. So if Bud Earl together can do as much or more than Canelo Golovkin 3, that will say a whole lot.
All right. Looks like on we got Brandon. Actually, we got a couple cash apps we got to get to. We got Nick Dice with the cash app, $10 cash app to $ the boxing voice number one. He says, you guys are the best. What's his favorite dish? Uh-oh, that might have been late. We got another one from Mo. He says, watch you guys every morning. Love you guys. 100 emoji, number one podcast. We appreciate that. We're going out to the People's Champ.
Hello, ladies.
Anybody that knows me, know I've been a player, whether it was in Alabama, Ohio, or anywhere around the globe.
TheBoxingBoys.com.
I've been smashing Telly Swift, man. I didn't have to become a millionaire to get that caliber of woman.
One of the people's choices, one of the fan favorites, the guy that galvanized this crowd such as myself.
He's too ugly to be the world champ. The world champ should be pretty like me.
The AJ of trucking.
What?
Yep, Brandon in Cincinnati.
The exclamation.
Yo, TVB, what's good? How's my audio?
What up?
What's up, fellas? Yeah, I just thought about something. Triple G and Canelo had a press conference. I don't know if you talked about it. I don't remember talking about it. I didn't watch it. Not too many people I know bothered to look at it or gave a fuck about it. So if the press conference ain't really catch nobody's attention, let's just be real. How big is this fight? Because you already know when Bud and Earl press conference come, next you're going to want to do a review show on the shit. It's going to have the whole hood and the frenzy. So I disagree, man. I think this fight will be a little bigger because they did, what, he just do 600,000 on the zone and that shit all over the world. And according to Leonard, it only did like 300,000 him and Bivol in the U.S. So we need to pump our brakes on how big Canelo really is. He is fighting on the app. And, you know, Bud and Earl, shit, that's this generation's Sugar Ray Leonard and Hearn. So, telling you, man, I think it's going to be bigger. I'm putting it on my back. All the brothers, we need to be talking about this shit at the barbershop, at the court, at the bar. We need to make this shit big. I'm putting it on us. It's up to the brothers to make sure this fight is big as possible, man. This shit need to be like the Essence Fest of boxing. Like, if it don't do better than Canelo and Triple G, that's on us, because this shit is major. And I will do everything I can to make sure everybody I know about this shit, because it's not only is it a bigger fight, but in my opinion, it's a bigger event, Canelo at this point. Fuck Canelo, fuck Horchatas, fuck all that shit. Just until Bud and Earl fight.
Cut it.
People hate, huh? People hate.
I wouldn't even hate. That was just ignorance.
We got Average Boxing Fan that says, Bud and Spence need that undercard to be full of Mexicans to try and compete with one Mexican, a.k.a. Nello, Mexican flag emoji, runs boxing when it comes to money. Alrighty then. And now we have Oscar. Salute to my sanitation workers around the world.
What's up, Max? What's up, Max? So we're talking about this again. It's not going to do better than them. You know why? Mayweather and Pacquiao did real good numbers. You know why? They had a Brian Kenny, right? Brian Kenny, that's his name, who was instigating, remember calling them out and all that? And Canelo, who does Canelo have? Danny? David, Fight son, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Crawford and Errol don't have no one like that calling them out, bro. And, you know, they've been waiting for – and sad truth is there's a lot of Triple G fans out there who are Mexican. One of my supervisors at work still thinks Triple G is going to knock out Canelo at 40 years old. And I tell him, bro, you're delusional, man. I tell him every day, you're delusional. I fuck with him every day telling him you're delusional. But –
Yo, but do you really think, and this is like truly, I want to know, do you really think that Canelo even gives a fuck with David Fight? I feel like David Fight Dalton is like the Rick Glazer of Spanish. Like, people just look at him as a joke.
Rick Glazer ESPN as a platform.
No, not ESPN as a platform, but I'm saying that they've talked so much shit on the internet. I feel like people look at them as jokes. Like, Canelo went on live television and clowned David Faltazón for like 20 fucking minutes, 30 minutes.
Yeah, but that's only because David got to him.
That shows you. Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. That showed you that he did get to him. So yeah.
How many years ago, though? How many years ago? That was after the first Golovkin fight.
Yeah, but he made David right. David always said Canelo was afraid. David always said Canelo was taking forever to fight Golovkin. David always said the public wanted Canelo to fight Golovkin, even after the second fight. And now look, it took him 5 years, so it looks like Canelo was the one dragging.
And then off the loss, it's going to be even bigger because a lot of people think Golovkin still has a chance. But, you know, that's all I want to say. I don't think it's going to do bigger than Errol and Bud.
Definitely not a better fight. It's definitely not a better fight. If it sells more, which I expect it to, you know, generate more money, I just don't agree with Eddie saying three times, five times. Like, no.
And one more thing, man. You know, at O'Reilly's, they were promoting this. At AutoZone, they were promoting this. I don't see no one's going to be promoting Errol Spence and Bud at these places, man. That's just being truthful. You know, not no hate or nothing. You know what I mean? That's just being truthful. I still have a poster from Mayweather and Canelo from O'Reilly. You know what I mean? I never have seen a poster of Bud or Errol over there.
They haven't announced the fight, bro. So, you know, maybe once they announce the fight and they, you know, the art team comes up with the fight poster, you know, then maybe you'll get you a fight poster. It may not be O'Reilly's. It may be a DraftKings.
O'Reilly's.
It may be a DraftKings. It might be
Auto Park.
You know, somebody that they do business with. But yeah, man.
Well, Danny, you seem slightly agitated. Just slightly.
Smoke weed every day.
Need a little pooly pool.
I'm healthy, strong, and about to knock the whole fence out in Jesus' name.
Is that offensive? I haven't smoked it.
I'm bringing the whole church.
It's the whole. It's the
whole. You live. Live.
I got the whole Christian congregation behind me. Jesus' name.
And we all know God only made one thing perfect, and that's my boxing ring.
Yeah.
Yo, what's good, Ness?
What up?
Danny.
What
Ring
up?
One. Both from Bama. Not much. Just great show. Man, I don't know. Let's see. Triple G versus Canelo. That's going to be a good fight. You know, I feel like, you know, Triple G, he may not win, but I feel like he's going to give him a run for his money, even though he's 40 years old. So, I don't know. Will it do better than Spence and Crawford? I think Crawford, once they sign that, everything's done, that's going to be fire. So, I don't know. For me, I feel like the Earl Spence and Terrence, which you've been waiting for years. So I feel like that's going to be that much better. So that's just me, though. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I feel like it's going to do good numbers. But so, you know, Canelo always does his thing. I'm not going to hate on Canelo. I like Canelo, but we'll see what he does with the 40-year-old. But that's my call. Great show. God bless.
Appreciate it. All right. Appreciate. Let's see here. Let's see what is. Whoa. Well, would you look at that? Yeah. Phone lines are lit.
Listen, they ain't got don't know nothing. The line don't know nothing. Or the eye don't know anything.
We did it first. We did it first. And we motivate even the greats.
Oh, what a big shot by Lopez.
What he done to the boxing world to be number one in the junior weight division?
SDS Promotions.
Hello.
Fellas.
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
What up?
I believe it or not, the Crawford Spence fight is really going to sell a lot more than what people are thinking. I got people in all my drug dealing friends that don't even watch boxing like that, they're talking about Crawford versus Spence. And I believe once this fight is announced and it starts getting the promotion that it should have, I actually believe that Crawford Spence is going to do more numbers than Triple G and Canelo. However, Triple G and Canelo is going to be more intriguing than I would have anticipated prior, because Canelo's coming off with a loss. But I think Crawford versus Spence is going to do about 800,000. That's my prediction on that. As far as numbers go, that's what I think is going to happen, man. I hope that fight happens. And if Crawford beats Errol Spence and then moves up and beats Charlo, we're going to have to start discussing Terrence Crawford in the top 10 all-time greats, because nobody's ever done that. Undisputed at 140, 147, and 154. We're talking about somebody being discussed with guys like Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, and Floyd Mayweather, if Terrence Crawford pulls this off. If Errol Spence pulls this off, he's definitely number one pound for pound, because he'll be undisputed in the best division in boxing and beating champion after champion after champion, instead of just beating some guy that got all the belts that took it off luck. You know what I'm saying? So it's a very intriguing fight coming up, man. Whoever wins this fight is number one pound for pound, because right now I got Errol at number four. That's my call.
All right.
DCA
next up, looking like Lids Low, Decatur, Georgia. What up?
Get your ass in the ring.
Ain't no
way,
man.
BoxingWiz.com.
Hey, Daddy.
Boxing Faking Man Game.
This is Dollar
Tree. Yeah. Up here. You got to get out of thinking, motherfucker. That's why I'm
so Lids Low, I'm going to get right to you. My bad. My man, Nick Dice with the $10 Cash App. Counterpunch. What up, Nick? My bad.
Hey, what's up, man? Good morning to you guys. Hey, Ringwalk and Ness, y'all do the best work. Over here, video editing. That's why I sent you that Cash App, because about to start a channel, do some food videos. So I want to see what the boxers.
What you cooking?
Give me like the. Oh man, it's whatever, man. So far I've done 10 videos, but I just ain't posted them on the YouTube. Learning all the back ends on the social media, how to use the OBS software. We'll probably talk offline about that.
That's
but
true.
To this morning's thing, Eddie's supposed to promote. So I think Canelo and Golovkin, they cool, but I think the most important fight in boxing is definitely Spence and Crawford. It's going to set the tone for the next 10 years, I think, you know, of what could come next. But, yeah, also when I sent you that Cash App, there's a – you probably got a spam profile. There's the same one. It says the boxing voice. But instead of the letter I, it's a letter J. So just to let you know, somebody trying to take your cash, bro, you got to keep that shit in. Hey, but God bless you guys. Have a good morning. I'm about to get back to this video editing. I'll hit you on the Instagram offline. Maybe y'all could let me know what to do.
For sure, man. Anytime, brother. Appreciate the
call. All right,
take care, guys. Yo, that's sad that someone would do that, like a fake Cash App to steal. Like, that's beyond trolling. That's not necessity either. That's like stealing trolling, you know. But, Liz, what up?
Hey, what's happening, TBV?
What it do?
Man, everything kosher. Danny, what's shaking with you, man?
Shit. What's cracking, man?
Everything kosher, bro. Shout out to Bo. I don't be seeing Bo, and I be forgetting him sometimes. He don't be in the picture, but shout out to Bo. This how I feel about it. I think, well, obviously, Spence and Crawford, the better opposition and shit. I mean, I'm sorry, the better fight to me. I think between Canelo losing, you know how some of these fans are, they'll jump off a bandwagon quick. And then, what, Canelo, what, not really fighting on his Mexican day might be a little help for us. But I say this is what we do to put a little twist on that. Go ahead and throw Ennis on the undercard, you understand, so everybody get to see the big hype about Ennis is the one who didn't see so far. You know what I'm saying? And just build it up a little bit more. I think that'll be cool. But I think Bud and them should sell more than Triple G and Canelo. But that's my call, man. Shout out to everybody. Remember, let's keep boxing up. Go for who you go for. You know what I mean? I'm out there camp, man.
You left the camp. We got some other callers here. Who this?
New callers, man?
I think so. Uh-oh. Or old. Hasn't called in a while. Definitely brand new in Philly. Who's this? 610. Talk to us.
Yo, what up, fellas? Can y'all hear me?
Yep. We hear you.
All right, it's the KKG. Next, we actually talked like a week ago. What up, Danny? Hope y'all
what
doing
up,
good
KG?
Today. Chilling. But, you know, to answer the question, I think Hearn is doing what he's supposed to do. He's promoting, as he should. But I think all fans at this point are looking at other fights for Canelo. We want to see Bivol. We want to see a Charlo. We want to see a Benavidez. So while it sounds good, I truly don't think the interest is on the zone. Makes it a little bit limited for people to actually get to it. Whereas Spence and Crawford, that fight's been brewing for years. That's the fight everybody wants to see. And once it's signed and the paperwork's in, I see that interest only growing.
Well, thank you for your opinion, champ. Steven, Connecticut. What up?
Let's wait a little bit so you missed the countdown.
Hey, what's up? What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
In the middle of the countdown right now.
Soon to be afternoon.
Okay.
Steven, what up?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Oh, straight, man. Thanks for calling in.
No doubt, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You know, I try to jump in every once in a while. And I hope you get a chance to see the Cash App because y'all do a lot for boxing. There's only a few people that really do it for boxing, and I believe you guys actually do that. So in regards to this Canelo, Triple G, and Spence Crawford, on the surface, the Canelo and Triple G would be a bigger fight monetarily. But like one of the callers said before, because, you know, Canelo lost, Triple G being 40, those things are probably going to drive down the numbers for the fight because it's not as much anticipating. Some people are like, okay, it's the third fight. Maybe if this happened 3 years ago, I think the hype would have been even more. And it's really going to be imperative for the people who are, you know, putting the Bud and Spence fight together. They do a great job promoting. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be something we're going to have to look and see if the numbers end up being bigger, because Bud and Spence individually don't do Canelo numbers. Canelo runs boxing when it comes to the numbers. But I think them two together might be the perfect storm. It may be. But we'll get a chance to see.
So, Champ, you said you sent the Cash App.
Yeah, you'll see it in a little bit. You might have some other ones to look at first, you know? You guys are busy. What, you got a lot
what's
of people
your name?
On the channel. The Unbiased Fan, S. Brimley.
And was it a Cash App or a Super Chat?
Oh, no, Super Chat. I'm sorry. It was a Super Chat. My fault.
Because I'm
Super
like,
chat,
no,
fault.
Not now that we got a dude out here copying our cash, I got to make sure. But I do see it.
Oh, yeah,
thank
I saw
you.
That. That's kind of crazy. They trying to steal.
Yeah.
Fucked up, man.
So thank you. We got Bougie and Broward that says, call Bernie for Bud and Spence update, please. 199 Super Chat. Then we got, obviously, who we just got off the phone with, Unbiased Fan, says, because y'all put lots of effort in covering boxing, I'll be on the line soon. The Unbiased Fan. Well, shout out to you. You were just on the line. We do appreciate you calling in and everyone else that joins us here on the Boxing Voice Radio each and every day. You can join us at the number 1-425-569-5241. Press one time. Voice your opinion right here. Voice of the People Hotline. Big, little, small. We interviewing them all. And it looks like we got another new number calling in the 918. Who this?
This Jordan from Tulsa. How y'all doing, boys?
Jordan, what's up?
Nothing much. Hey, man, I found y'all show on YouTube about 2 weeks ago. It's been a part
Thank
of my Rona routine since then, man. I appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you finding us, man. We needed you.
Yeah, no, hey, I'm about to join. And, if y'all don't find an intern in a few months, I'm coming down.
Let's do it.
Hey, but about today's topic, I feel like with the right promotional strategy, Spence Crawford can be bigger, but I feel like naturally, if they half-ass do it, then Canelo and Triple G can put up better numbers.
I'm with that.
I just think you guys have brought up going to a few cities, I feel like if they can get more people involved that aren't a part of the hype, because Canelo has a built-in fan base, man, and that's how I feel about it, man. I appreciate you guys, and that's my call.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you once again for not only calling in, but for the continued support. Truly appreciate that. And I'm going through the list, checking it twice. Looks like we got the everybody. We out. Ness GTO, Instagram, and Twitter. Catch us on the next one. You already know.
Greenberg Danny.
Uh-oh, LV Slugger with the counterpunch coming in. Last minute. Is he on there or not? There
LV.
He goes. LV, what up?
CBV. Y'all hear me?
We hear you.
Yeah, like I said before, man, going to that big fight with Canelo's and Triple G, you know, they had questionable wins on their resume. You know, people had, you know, them dudes losing some of them fights, even though, you know, the judges had them winning. You know, with Spence and Bud, both, all their fights won in convincing fashion. And, you know what I'm saying, both got their O. They both fighting for their O. And I feel like whoever come on top of this fight gonna have their claim at the number one fight on the planet. Number one pound for pound. You know, Canelo Triple G is not going to be whoever wins number one pound for pound. I feel like whoever come on top of that Bud Spence got their claim at number one and on the planet. And like a lot of callers have been saying, you know, that Triple G, Canelo going to be on the out. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have a chance during college football season, Sunday football, NFL, to promote that Bud Spence fight. So I definitely think it's the biggest fight in boxing. It's going to bring a lot of casual fans in. We need this to help the young crop of lightweights that's coming up. I feel like this is the type of fight to bring a lot of fans in the sport. But, yeah, that's all I really had to say, man. That's my call.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Hulk, Counterpunch.
Hulk in Maryland on Discord, Counterpunch. Uh-oh. Where you at, Hulk? You got him.
Hulk. What up, man?
Yeah.
What up?
All right, my bad. I'm driving, man. I'm trying to get freaking stuff. I just had something to say, man. The caller called in or messaged in saying that the Mexicans, by all the fights, no, that's not true. The Mexicans spend money on their particular one fighter that they like, and that's how it's always been. And it was Chavez. Now it's Canelo. Canelo can outsell Spence or Crawford or whoever. Outside of Canelo, whatever. A Mexican can sell pay-per-view right now. Which other Mexican you can name right now can outsell Spence in a pay-per-view? Name one other than Canelo. Name one that can outsell.
Navarrete.
He can outsell Tank in a pay-per-view?
Nah, he's just trolling.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. Name one Mexican other than Canelo that can outsell Crawford in a pay-per-view. They can't. It's just Canelo. They spend their money on Canelo. I give them that. Other than that, though, they don't support all their fighters. They support one fighter, and it's Canelo. Yeah. So right now, we got Crawford. We got Crawford. But Spence, Tank, regular pay-per-view numbers, and it's not just one fighter. So don't say that the Mexicans spend all the money on boxing. No, it's not true. They can only sell the only number one pay-per-view fighter from Mexico. Mexico is Canelo. Right now, other than that, it's Tank. Ain't no other Mexican fighter can outsell Tank. Ain't no one that can outsell Spence, Crawford. None of them right now. So that's just totally false. But anyway, TBV number one. I'm out.
Hold on. Don't leave just yet. Don't leave just
what
yet.
You about to give him old stats?
No.
About Marquez or something?
No. What you mean, Marquez?
Let me hear.
What you mean? Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. No,
What new Mexican dude selling pay-per-views?
Hold on, no. I just wanted to tell you that if you want to get technical, Andy did bring in more money than Bud in his pay-per-view with Areola versus Bud's pay-per-view with Postal.
Hmm. Shots fired.
Okay, Andy got a fight coming up. Let's see how his next pay per view does.
Yeah, and I'm not arguing what you're saying because I agree. Like, you know, Canelo is a pay per view star. You know, right now, cool. You know, out of the fighters that we discussing, but I totally get where you're coming from, and I agree.
Word.
Okay. Well, I'm out.
I just like giving people a hard time.
Yo, Hawk, man, thank you for joining us, champ. Looks like we are out. Nesta Gibbs, Instagram and Twitter. Arrivederci.
The Boxing Voice on all social media platforms. We will be back today, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. For Untitled.
Fuck this shit.
So, the guy has anger issues, and we are out. See you guys tonight, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. On what?
We did 4 p.m. Remember, we get 4 p.m.
Yeah.
So we hear 4 p.m.
Do you not see who I do the show with and who cuts? I mean, he's the cutoff king, bro.